ImpactWrestlingRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening to the Wrath of God.
Stratus action is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you The Rack, bringing you unique perspectives about the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar, porque no tiene, porque le falta una patita para caminar.
And TNA.
Konnichiwa! Watashi wa Kareman desu, King of Spice desu, Kobashi Kenta, Hidaka Aikuto, onegai shimasu.
What? Ojigana Mata, how the hell do I know what he just said? What am I, a damn international translator?
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my god, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my god, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
Let me explain how this thing works. First, you become famous, and then I'll kick your ass. But until then, let's keep it strictly professional.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
All gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone."
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to yet another edition of The Rack. Yes, we're back to deliver more pain and punishment, and you came back, and God bless you for doing it. joining us tonight is, of course, my awesome producer, Sir Rockin.
I have baseball on, so I is distracted.
Awesome. I had the tutors on before the show, so yeah. And also joining us is the man from Down Under currently playing the Madden demo, Mace!
Konnichiwa! Missedus! Oh, wait, sorry. I'm not Curry Man.
I heart Curry Man.
Go, go.
And I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward. We are brought to you by the awesome PWMania.com, which we actually pulled all our news from tonight. So, yay! And I see a lot of new chatters. That makes me happy.
Yeah.
New chatters is always a good thing.
Yes, and we speak English. We don't speak Canadian. Just saying, Tim.
Tim, don't be causing trouble in the chat room, okay? Just play nice. But, I was happy because Green Bay won.
Woo-hoo.
They beat Cincinnati 27-13. Baltimore beat Jacksonville 48-17, and Arizona is actually in a really tight game with Tennessee right now, 27-26. Arizona's ball with 5:27 left in the fourth. Yes, we do give you football scores because it's football season, and we know what that means. We're all distracted, right?
Right. And if you're not a part of the league and want to be a part of our fantasy football league, the draft is tomorrow. We have a couple open spots. If you want to be a part of it, get in contact, and you can play along with us.
Yes, and just for those baseball fans that are interested, Philly and Cincinnati are tied 3-3.
In the bottom of the 10th.
Yeah. LA is above Boston, 12-11, bottom of the 9th. I think that's Minnesota. Is losing to Texas currently, 5-4, bottom of the 8th. And Atlanta and San Francisco just started. They're middle of the 3rd, and they're at 0-0 right now. Go Braves!
Welcome to the sports show right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Well, as we've warned everyone, this is...
We'll give you football on the hour, and hockey on the half an hour, and weather on the fives.
No, we can't talk about...
that hockey shit.
We can't talk about the hockey. There is no hockey. They're going on strike or lockout or something.
Again, awesome.
I'm from the South. I don't believe in hockey, as we don't have such things as ice down there. We had a hockey team in Atlanta. It got sold to Winnipeg. Okay? So none of that hockey stuff.
All right, we're not allowed to talk about hockey on the show, but as we warned everyone, eventually when football season comes around, we'll mix in a little bit of football talk here on the rack.
Yeah, this is the time of year when I care about baseball season. Football's starting, so Rock and I are distracted. And, yeah, so you will get more than wrestling on this show, so tune in!
Yes, and tell your friends. It's gonna be a fun time, and apparently Tim's now starting to correct us about hockey in the chat room. But
I don't care where they got sold to. It was somewhere in Canada.
No, they were.
That's all I needed to know.
You got it right. He's talking about the original team. But anyway, we have a question of the night.
We do have a question of the night, and this one's a little bit controversial.
It is.
We've actually gotten some really great responses on Facebook and Twitter, but we want to hear from you in the chat room. If you haven't already responded and you want to, give us your response, but first, think about this before you react. Please think about this question, because it's meant to be thought-provoking. It's not meant to be gut reaction. In light of Kevin Nash's comments, we actually came up with this a couple weeks ago when Kevin Nash made those now infamous stupid comments about Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit.
Good. I'm glad you clarified that, because Kevin Nash makes a lot of stupid comments on Twitter.
Yeah, I had to clarify. You know, it dawned on me, oh yeah, he does that a lot. So the question tonight is as follows. Is Eddie Guerrero's career over-glorified because of his early death? So, like I said, we've gotten some great responses on this. We'd like to get as many as possible. So if you've got a response, put it in our chat box, tweet it to us at Wild Talk Radio, or you can email it to us, media@wildtalkradio.com. We're going to be letting you think about this all throughout the show, and then the three of us or more, if we get a caller, we'll have the discussion at the end of the show.
This is true, but what's going on in the world? What are people talking about, Lindsay?
Well, I think, first of all, first of all, I think we need to give a shout out to former TNA WCW knockout Daphne, who was in a car accident. Wish her a speedy recovery.
Yeah,
she crawled out the passenger window, bumps and bruises and whatnot, small personal possessions that got destroyed.
Like her iPod.
Yeah.
And her car.
And those things are expensive.
Yeah.
And a video camera that had, like, extra footage for, I think it was Shine Wrestling. And that's a lot of expensive electronic equipment, not to mention the car itself with complete write-off.
Yeah, I was going to say, the car's, like,
to get replaced. Like, so she will be auctioning off a lot of stuff on eBay to sort of help raise money to recover all those items. So keep an eye out. Probably PW Mania will post links when the news gets released of what she's putting out there. And, you know, by all means, buy her stuff. Because she's awesome.
Yes.
You would auction off Stevie Richards. I would appreciate it. I think the first and biggest news of the week, aside from Daphne, who we wish speedy recovery, is Tyler Rex is gone from WWE, and no, he didn't get fired. He left. He asked for his release.
It's strange. He's having trouble leaving his daughter. He wants to be a stay-at-home dad at this point, and he asked for his release.
Which I honestly can't blame him. I mean, if your call's to be at home and that's where you want to be, then by all means, dude, go for it. I'm not going to judge you for that.
He's doing the right thing for his family. He's staying home, and that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Well, considering that he's sacrificing, you know, family and everything else for what is basically a very low-end position in the WWE, I don't blame him for taking this type of action.
Yeah. I mean, it's, no offense to Tyler Rex, it's not that big of a loss for the WWE, even though they just debuted the new Magic Mike gimmick, but I think Curt Hawkins can carry that on just fine without him. But yeah, more power to him. If he wants to stay at home with his family and raise his daughter, go for it, dude.
Yeah, go for it.
Props, congratulations on that decision, and best of luck. And honestly, I think you beat him to the punch a little bit.
Yeah, it's possible.
But speaking of punches, Rey Mysterio took a punch, or a bump, or
power bomb.
Something.
He took a power bomb.
Is that what has been concluded as what the official cause was?
Yes, that's what they're reporting. Is the powerbomb he took at SummerSlam has a little bit banged him up.
Yeah, it seems Rey Mysterio was hurt once again, and he is now out with a concussion. We don't know how severe it is at this time, but look for Mysterio to be out for at least a couple weeks, if not longer.
Yeah, he took an impact test, and he came out okay, but he's got to take another one before they clear him. He's supposed to take one tomorrow, I believe.
So, okay.
So he might be back in a week or so, but right now they're doing everything right because concussions are a big deal at this point in time in wrestling and all sports.
Yeah, concussions are something you don't want to mess with. So, you know, WWE taking the preventative caution and just holding him out and making sure he's taking all the tests is definitely the right way to go.
I agree. But the other people making news, this isn't the personal variety, apparently one of Dolph Ziggler's former girlfriends started to talk.
Bless her.
She did. Amy Schumer of the roast on Comedy Central, the latest one on a couple weeks ago for Roseanne, was on the Howard Stern show and, well, had a few interesting comments about one Dolph Ziggler. Yeah. We have
and
audio.
We have those, don't we?
We do. We have awesome audio. Take a listen to this.
A wrestler.
You dated a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
The fake
Monday
wrestler.
Night Raw. Yeah.
Monday. You were
really?
Dating a Monday Night. Was
I
it
was.
Hulk Hogan?
It was Mick Foley. No, I'm just kidding.
Now who was? Was it the Iron Sheik?
No, but he writes to me on Twitter sometimes. So
he does.
Yeah, he's a little incoherently babble about wanting to fuck me.
How did that get? How did that get off my radar? You were dating
a professional wrestler. Yeah.
But I could.
I know. I don't. I feel like you. I'm like, what?
Was he a bright guy?
Yeah, he was so funny, so smart.
Hey, was he
sweetheart.
One of these? Was he? Is I don't know who this guy is. He a muscular guy?
His real name is Nick Namath. His name is Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph.
That's an Alan Wojcik for you. Just saying.
It's his wrestling name.
But he's got to be muscle bound.
He was really strong, but he didn't look like a freakish.
When you went
you
to
know.
Bed with him, though, was it, this was a very.
He was so, like, in perfect shape. It didn't really feel like somebody's body to me. I don't need that much. Like, I don't. It was sort of superfluous
perfect.
For me.
It's like almost. If you had $1 million, you'd be happy. You don't need a billion.
Yeah.
It's too much muscle, too much perfection.
Right. Like, if you can see your feet, I'll fuck you. No,
right.
I'm just kidding. No, it wasn't bad, but it just wasn't for me. The sex was too athletic.
Really?
Always.
Really?
Yeah, the first time I was like, oh, this is cool. No one's ever, like, ragdolled me. He's, like, spinning me like a globetrotter. I was like, oh, my God.
Up and down.
I felt so petite. I was like, how can he find me? And, but, you know.
He's a big, powerful guy, right?
Yeah, he's really strong. But, I mean, you know.
The first time you went to bed with him, I understand what you're saying. In other words, there are some guys who can manhandle you and physically move
yeah.
you around.
Right.
To the point where they're plowing into you and fucking you and
it was
spinning.
Exciting.
What kind of crazy shit did he do? Because I would like to do some of this.
It wasn't that crazy, but it felt like we were wrestling.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And
lots of high action.
Yeah. But I mean, like that, there's a girl that will be like so obsessed with him and psyched at all those events, but I wasn't the girl. But what happened was we were together, we were dating for a couple months, and I was
How long did
into
you hold
it.
Out?
You
know,
me?
Until he got to bang you.
Oh, the first night he held my hand, he was inside me.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, my God.
You
I'm
met
not
him the
a...
first night and you fucked him?
Yeah.
Wow, you slut.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
I don't wait.
Game.
If I want to fuck someone, like, there's no, like...
Good for you.
Let's wait. I mean, I just have to be allowed and single. I'm a monogamous slut.
So he holds you, like, where'd you meet this guy, a wrestler? I'm fascinated.
It was actually really sweet. I was supposed to perform in Phoenix, and I had food poisoning, so I had to cancel the show. I've never had to cancel a show like that. And so I was in the hospital. Mm. I was like, it was really bad.
You had diarrhea?
Oh, I had everything. Every hole, like, shit was coming out of my ears.
Oh,
I was
God
just
sake.
Like, but I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be so skinny. This is ridiculously awesome.
Yeah, be like that.
Yeah, I was kind of like half smiling in the hospital.
Right.
And he lives there and he was going to come to the show and I canceled and he was writing, he's all these followers on Twitter.
Right.
And he was writing to me, but I just never really, like, wrote back.
Right.
I was just like, who's, like, I've
never
watched wrestling.
Right.
I'm like, I don't understand. And then, and he just kept writing, and then I wasn't following him. I didn't write back. He got all of his followers to tweet me to follow him.
Oh my God.
And I was like, and I finally follow him. I'm like, what do you want? Here I am. And he was just like, how are you? And then we just started emailing. It's being on the road all the time and alone. It's such a, like, we have the same sort of life.
Right.
So we had, like, constant communication, which was awesome, because it's, like, all I wanted from the last guy.
Yeah, the last guy you broke up with wouldn't communicate with
you. Yeah, and we talked all the time, and it was really fun. And
all right, so you meet the wrestler after he's been, it sounds almost like he's stalking you in a sense.
Yeah, when I did just notice, it's like, oh, that's light stalking. But he was so hot. That's the thing. Yeah. When the guy's hot, it's not sexual harassment.
That's right.
Is he like the guy you dreamed of in high school? And like I mean, because he's like physically perfect and he's a big muscular guy.
I did not ever dream of this guy, but I was like, wow, what a nice surprise. You know, when you date someone, then you break up, you're like, oh my God, I'll never be in love again, and life sucks, and I'm never going to have sex again.
Right.
And then this guy popped up, and I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. And I would go to his events.
Where did you go on the date, the first date?
He would fly and see me where I was performing.
So he came to a performance.
He came, yeah, and we just hung out in Denver.
So you performed that night. You met, then he said.
I performed, and then I performed.
Well, that's what I want to understand. What's the trajectory here? You perform, then you go to dinner with him. You say after the show, hey, let's go out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You eat dinner. Was it an expensive dinner or a romantic dinner?
No. I mean, I don't do this a lot. I've never done this before, so it was, like, a little uncomfortable, but as soon as I saw him, I was like, yes, because even if somebody's really hot, you see pictures, like, that chemistry isn't, but I felt it with him.
You felt sexual. Like, you were tingling.
Yes.
And were you nervous?
Yeah.
Because he's a man.
Yeah, and I'm like, he's so physically flawless.
Right.
Like, what, and I Googled him, I see pictures of his ex-girlfriends, they're all Playboy whatevers, and I'm just like, well, fucking this Long Island girl is like, I hope you like a little bit of cellulite.
Did you get nervous being naked in front of a guy like that? I mean, honestly.
No, I feel really good naked.
And there you go.
Bless her.
So basically she's a slut. Okay.
Basically she's a slut, but apparently Dolph is really athletic in bed and he's perfect, which we already knew. But thank you, Amy. Cuz apparently he's also really good in bed. So for the win.
So yeah, you can the archive somewhere on the internet. If you can troll around and find it, or you know, subscribe to Sirius Radio and hear the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah, but our next story I think is for Mace.
Yes.
It's for me?
It's for you.
It's for you.
We saw this and we had to put it in.
Uh-huh.
We have figured out a way to get you to the States.
We have.
Okay, I keep telling you, freight is more expensive than you realize.
No, not
I'm
yet.
Not Chinese. I can't come in on a boat.
Oh, damn it.
And I'm not Mexican, so I can't sneak over borders.
Well, damn it, there goes B and C. No.
Well, there you go.
We're going to bring you over on Vince's dime.
Right.
WWE has opened a recruiting site for wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
And no reaction. You can go to recruit.wwe.com and you can go through all the info and submit, I guess, a resume or footage or pictures or whatever. We didn't actually go through the whole process. We just went and looked at the site. And we thought, this is a great thing for Mace and Smug.
It would be great if it didn't mean that I had to pay my own way over there for the initials.
Well, we figured you would be so awesome, they would just bring you right over.
Yeah, I wish I was that awesome, but unfortunately, despite what everybody else would believe, I'm not that awesome.
You don't have it. You don't stand out in a crowd. You don't
oh,
have
I
it.
Do.
Okay, then that's one of the qualifications.
I have all the requirements. I just don't have, like, $2,500 to fly over there to go sit down with Vince and have him turn around and go, we're not hiring guys like you anymore.
Well, you see, that's the beautiful thing, because on the response time, you have 1 to 6 months to save for that flight.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Her job at the moment doesn't quite work.
Yeah. I'm serious, folks. We went and looked at the response time, because they have it as an FAQ on there, and it says 1 to 6 months, and all I can say is, wow. United Airlines got back to me faster than that.
So yeah, if you're an aspiring superstar, fill out an application at recruit.wwe.com.
If you're female and fresh from the strip joint down the road,
go to recruit.wwe.com.
Actually, it's kind of interesting. One of the things on there is they ask is, what if I don't have any formal training? They actually tell you to go get some.
Yeah, they want you to at least be indie level qualified, like to be able to actually do your bumps, basic chain wrestling, basic psychology. So that way they just mold you into their usual generic piece of junk.
True, I'll give you that, but at least they want you to know how to wrestle, which I have to applaud. Unlike the girls who they just bring in and have no clue, and they get on the job training and they suck.
Well, that's how they got the job.
Not going there. Moving on. Another kind of another kind of recruiting or another kind of roster got announced this week. We're just going to kind of glaze over it because, well, everybody's already talked about it, although I would be interested to hear Mace's thoughts on this as far as WWE announcing the 13 roster for this year, at least part of it. And this has been actually kind of controversial subject because some people either really like it or they really hate it.
I'm so sad and depressed. I can't wrestle with my Alex Riley in the video game. I'm so depressed.
So my God, where are the Usos?
Yeah, we looked over the roster last night, and a lot of people are complaining that guys like Alex Riley, the Usos,
William Regal are not in this game.
Yeah, Layla's not in the game, which, okay, I'll give them that one. Natty's not in the game, I'll give them that one. But basically, a lot of people are complaining about the fact that the lower-level guys that we never see anyway aren't in the game.
My first response is, when was the last time William Regal had a wrestling match on TV? That explains why he's not in the game. Pay attention to WWE. You'll know why the people aren't in the game.
Yeah, that basically, for those of you that don't know, they usually take the roster going forward from WrestleMania, and that's who normally ends up in the game, with a few exceptions this year because of all the Attitude Era stuff. However, for those of you complaining, as Rock informed me, there are, over 100 unlockables in this game?
Yes.
So you never know. They could be an unlockable character, or they could be a DLC. Looking at the roster, it doesn't look like it's the full game roster, but they don't have all the DLCs out yet.
No.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with THQ. They're one of the few companies who don't do what's known as on-the-disc DLC, which is basically the process that Capcom likes to use, where they'll leave all the information on the disc, and you're basically paying for an unlock code. THQ, as soon as they wrap up the main game and they've got the finalized roster for that, they start working on DLC and they build each character from scratch. Yes. So all these extra characters, like, we do know of two so far, that being Damian Sandow and AJ Lee, probably going to be in the first DLC pack. There's a good chance that whoever you're wanting is coming later. Because usually, if I remember the pattern, it's usually a roster update's the first one. The second one's usually either a Diva or a Legends pack. And the third one is guys that have been brought in via the community. Because THQ loves listening to their community. And if you go over there and you say, where's this guy, where's this guy? If there's enough pull for it, they'll create them and put them in a DLC pack. So all this bitching and whinging right now does nothing.
Yeah, just relax and wait till the game comes out before you complain about how crappy it is. Wait,
yeah,
to play
exactly.
The game. That's
and
all
if, you know what? And if your guy or girl doesn't end up as a DLC, do what May suggested. Go to the forum, bitch and complain, and you know what? You may get them. Just
either that or jump online. Community creation, sometimes they put out some absolutely brilliant great-looking creator wrestlers.
This is true.
Of other of characters that have been left out of the game, including movesets and finishes.
Yeah, this is true. And I got
either way, you're gonna get it.
Yeah, I downloaded a really good Chris Jericho last year. It was really good.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You don't need to worry about Jericho. We got two Jerichos in this year.
I know. He wasn't in the last one, though.
Lindsay's going to be happy. There's two Kanes and two Undertakers.
This is what I hear. And I've actually gotten a hint. Rock showed me last night the Taker with no hair. And he actually doesn't look that bad.
That's, modern Taker is what you saw at WrestleMania. The Attitude Era is from...
98.
Which is, like, probably one of his more awesome-looking costumes.
Yeah, and I would really say that's one of his high periods. Mm-hmm. It's, like, right before he goes into the ministry.
Yes, it's right around that time.
So,
As much as I know people are sick of me hearing this, but from what I have actually played, the characters are probably some of the best that these guys have come up with so far. The controls... definitely are spot on. Less clipping this year. People saying that they look too plastic. They don't. Low res footage makes them look plastic. When you have them on a high definition screen, they look awesome.
Yeah, I was looking at the I was looking at the artist models on the THQ site, and I was actually very impressed by the artist rendering on the THQ site. I know that really has nothing to do with the game, but as a lot of people know, I'm a artist, I do graphic design, web design, all that fun kind of stuff. So to go on there and see the artist rendering and see how close they got it and how realistic looking it is, I was very impressed. Although Eve kind of looks like a man.
But. Well, the divas usually end up getting sort of like a lot less attention. They sort of take one model and then just wrap different heads around the same model for each character.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Which is sad, because if it's one thing I've been, like, yelling at THQ to do for years, is give us a diva storyline in the game. Put the divas in more of a focus and put more effort into them.
The last time I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, finish.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was done. Finish it. Finish your thought, woman.
No, I was going to say the last time I bought a WWE game, which I guess was 2008 or 2009, I was really kind of pissed off because I created a diva character and I was all excited, and then you can't put her into storyline mode. Divas don't get storyline mode.
Yeah,
that's been very common, which is a shame because they could probably do some really good storylines with them.
Yeah, so...
but they have to make it as realistic as possible, and we don't see the divas on TV, so you're not going to see them in the storyline in the game.
Not if I play as AJ Lee. Then I can bang three guys at once.
See, it's the I you're just going to go and mess around with the AJ Lee model now so she can have her Kane gear.
Yes, I want Harley AJ. I want it, damn it. They tease me.
I reckon they'll have it. I reckon they'll have it at some point, especially because she is DLC. I wouldn't be surprised if she gets an alternate costume, which is the Kane.
I hope so.
Well, but, we definitely have to, and I reckon other people should do this too, once you've actually got your hands on the game and played around with it. Go thank Cassidy Riley.
Yes.
That dude has put in, like, so many hours doing motion capture for this game. And he even said on another interview that he's done that he actually did the motion capture for the Stone Cold Steve Austin ATV entrance.
Right.
And he said that was like the best day of his life because he spent the rest of the day just hooning around on the ATV.
By the way, Lindsay, isn't there a good place you can go to get information about Cassidy Riley?
As a matter of fact, there is. You can go to his official website, CassidyRiley.net. And I just happened to be the webmaster at Cheap Shill.
How about that one?
And we're shilling it because I finally updated the damn thing. But yeah, seriously, tweet Cassidy, send him a message on Facebook, you can email him, all his contact information is on there. Send him a huge thank you because he's actually done the mocap work for the past, I would say, several WWE games.
Mm-hmm.
I think going back as far as 3 or 4 years. So definitely give him a shout-out and a big thanks. And stay tuned to the site, because we'll get you updates. And if you want to see him live, because he's kind of awesome live, We'll get you his show dates when he's wrestling, so you can go check him out if you're in the area. So, go Cassidy!
Someone who you won't see wrestling for at least a few weeks is Beth Phoenix.
That's right. Our condolences go out to her. Everybody was noticing that she was not at SummerSlam and she was not at Raw the following night. And the reason for that was is she had a loss in her family. She didn't go into details, but she just posted that she had had a loss of a loved one, and so we send our condolences to her.
Yes, we do. And one other little note to pass along to everybody. There's a new trainer at OVW. His name is Douglas Williams.
There is!
Yeah, so the guys are going to be taught well by Douglas Williams at OVW. So the people you see on Gut Check, now you know who's training them.
Exactly. So big hand to Douglas Williams for getting the trainer job. I'm not sure who was doing the training before, but they're definitely... You know, I was a little skeptical about them going and having a training facility, but I have to applaud the move. I think it's a good move for them.
Yes, it is.
And it definitely, if nothing else, helps lowering talent out and helps them look for new talent. So bravo to TNA on that move. But on that note, I think we should take our first break of the evening.
I agree.
So on that note, we are going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about TNA Impact because it was quite a night tonight. But so just stay tuned and listen in, and you're listening to The Rack, and we'll be right back.
Things are exactly what they
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the War Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig.
I just got across a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes.
Dude, the Godfather of the dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking.
Fucking 8 lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody.
Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking 3 lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, you fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Hell yeah. Oh my god. All right. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Damn, somebody give me a goddamn...
Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Forget about it. Get it?
All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy.
Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to cloud by fucking 3 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. God, man, I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Looking for some wrestle talk?
I wonder how many people we'll ask to start talking hockey. Four.
coming through, though.
Fucking Canadians taking over. What the hell?
Oh, what's he doing? He doesn't work Saturdays.
Yeah, I'm not working. I'm having fun. This is me having fun. See, when I have fun and I'm loose and relaxed, you know.
You sound like you're having fun.
I sound like I'm having fun. And I don't sound like I'm intentionally making bad jokes, so you guys can pick off.
Then step into the ring Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, for Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yes, tune in to listen to Tim Stein crack bad jokes and pretend he's funny. He's my neighbor. He's poor. He cannot afford that pot. He only has that pot now. No, that is girl's right pot. Go have a Coke and a smile.
I'm Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Back to the Rack Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I was mourning the loss of that music.
I was reading the story you posted in the chat room. Sorry. We are brought to you, by the way, by PWMania.com. Big news, I guess, broke while we were at break, or this break broke earlier. I don't know when it came out, but apparently Lance Armstrong is being stripped of his 7th Tour de France wins and is being banned for life because of doping.
Yeah, it just broke within the last 20 minutes.
The fuck?
Yeah, he was accused of doping during his racing days, and he had been disputing it for years, apparently. And tonight he actually dropped his claim against them. And yeah, he accepted the charges that he had been doping and was the ringleader of an apparent systematic doping on his tour-winning team. So, damn.
Yeah. He gave up on the fight. That's basically what happened. And now.
Yeah. It just sounds like he didn't want to continue a very expensive continuance with a lawsuit and just went, you know what, fuck it, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Because how many times can you fight this over and over again?
How could they prove that he was on doping? Because the guy was probably on so many fucking medications due to, you know, his chemotherapy and all that other shit that he had going on in his life. Plus, it's over how many years? 7 years. So, over that time, there's stuff that has been deemed illegal in that time that they're probably charging with today, and fucking all committees should be banned from sports.
But anyway,
it's a bunch of fucking retards.
I know. But and just to update you on the latest scores, Boston is losing to L.A. Minnesota is losing to Texas, and Atlanta is losing to San Francisco, and the Phillies won.
Phillies won.
And for those of you who are wondering how my Madden's game is going, I'm up 7-3.
And by the way, Titans win over Arizona. So, moving on, who watched Impact?
I did.
We did!
So yeah, Impact opened with a gang of motorcycle riding aces and aides as they came to the building tonight.
I want to ride. Screw that. I'll just take the bike.
They What's the bet all those bikes were from Hulk Hogan's garage?
Probably. Although I didn't see the one with the, you know, red and yellow and the little pom-poms on the handlebars and the card and the spoke. Oh, wait, that's a bike. Never mind.
Nice one. I
had to do it. But, yeah, so show opens with the Aces and Eights pulling up. They kind of did a recap of last week. where they showed the Aces and Eights activity, including James Storm getting his ass handed to him. And then they let us know Hogan will return tonight.
Brother.
Brother. And not a fuck was given by me. Sorry, I am one of the only people in the world that does not like Hulk Hogan. Please bear that in mind. There will be shots taken. So, show opens, it's gut check night, it's open fight night, and Sting comes out, and damn it, he wants the Aces and Eights, but he didn't come alone, did he?
No, he didn't come alone. He had a vast majority of the roster that came with him tonight, including the likes of Jeff Hardy, Austin Aries, Bully Ray, Mr. Anderson, Kurt Angle, who, by the way, looks like he put on a lot of muscle again. D-Von, AJ Styles, Gunner, and Robbie E, and T, and some other wrestlers.
And their ugly-ass sweaters.
Yes. Yeah, they had all the wrestlers out there. They want them out. They want the Aces and Eights to come out. The fans want it Hogan, though. But before the Aces and Eights could come out, Sting called out James Storm.
He did. Storm came out, cut a hell of a promo. And basically the doubt is over.
Yeah, the doubt is over. James Storm is not a part of the group since he got beat down last week. And, well,
I was sad about that. I wanted it to be him.
I know. But now they're ready for a fight. And, well, here come a couple of Aces and Eights. And
yeah,
they got killed.
Basically. And the one that cut on masked, ooh, he was an ugly fucker.
Apparently, according to Alan Wojcik, because he knows them all, his name was something O'Doyle. I can't remember the name at this point.
Clyde O'Doyle, I think, or something like that.
Began with a C. Well, my name is Wojcik. It's probably on this Twitter. Because, you know, if it's a no-name person, Alan Wojcik will know who it is because he knows all the indie wrestlers in the world.
Ouch! God.
But he does.
I know he does, but let's play nice.
I was playing nice. I was giving him credit.
Yeah. With sarcastic tone.
I was giving the man credit for knowing things.
Sure.
Oh, whatever.
Anyway. Yeah, basically you could tell these two were not the real Aces and Eights. In fact, the real Aces and Eights didn't show up till later in the show.
Yeah, it was C.J. O'Doyle.
C.J. O'Doyle.
And apparently he was a juggalo, so there goes your theory for that one. That ties into the looks. He's a juggalo.
Anyway, he was someone of little consequence and was there to get his ass whipped, but I thought this was a strong opening segment.
It was effective. Dragged a little bit, it was effective.
Yeah, it dragged a little bit, but, you know, it set the tone for the rest of the night, which was good.
Yeah, it was a nice little, you know, tone setter, set up, but we'll see.
But yeah, so, good opening segment, nice and strong. They went to commercial, they came back, Bound for Glory's going to Phoenix. Kane Kitten should have a squee. And if I could afford to go down there, I would be going down there. But I can't, so boomers to that.
We had our opening contest featuring Miss Tessmacher, who came down to the ring and called out Terror, of all people. You know, if she wants to beat her mentor, so that's what she wants to do. So she called her out, and that was our opening contest of the evening. And then we had our special referee. Well, not special. The knockout referee, Taryn Terrell, who's probably going to be the knockouts referee for all the matches. So,
I'd like to say, one, I applaud them for actually getting a girl referee to referee the female matches. Bravo to that. But could you have gotten anybody other than Taryn Terrell? I'm pretty sure there are female referees out there that actually know how to do this. And seeing as nobody really gave a crap about her when she showed up initially, why are we doing this again?
Because
Bruce Pritchard and Eric Bischoff like her.
because boobies.
Yeah, and they were out in full force tonight, let me tell you. I thought you were...
You okay, Mace?
Redskins just got a touchdown with like 39 seconds on the clock.
Wow, the Seahawks can't even catch a break in the virtual world. Damn.
Exactly.
Anyway, this wasn't a bad match. It wasn't a good match. It was an okay match. Tara carried it well. Taryn needs a lot of help with her ref skills. I understand Earl Hebner gave her a crash course, but they need to school her up. And also having her have her own entrance after the two girls have come out. Yeah.
Yeah, referees should never have an entrance.
Yeah, never.
And if they do, in her case, have her come out first.
Yeah, she should have been in the ring. She should have, her entrance should have came during the break.
Yeah, so, but Tara, as always, solid. Test Mocker was better for being in the ring with Tara, and Taryn needs help.
Test Mocker needs help, but I'm just going to leave it at that.
Test Mocker is not as bad as she used to be.
No, she's not as bad as she used to be. Tonight she was off her game. We'll just go with that. She was off her game tonight.
Yeah, this was not the best match out of her, but Tara carried it well, as she should, and I think that's the difference as professional wrestler meets diva.
Pretty much. Tara got the win, though, in this matchup.
Which was the right thing to do.
Yes, and this could mean we could see Tara versus Test Mocker at the next pay-per-view, which won't be so bad.
I would be okay with that.
This all stemmed back from when Tara almost won the match a couple weeks ago, and then, you know, the whole Earl Hebner thing, so, you know.
And Madison Rayne seems to just dropped off the face of the planet again. I don't know what's up with that, but she's gone again.
We'll see her next week, probably. She'll be begging for a title match again. We'll see her again. Don't worry. Don't you worry.
I'm not. I was just making an observation.
I know you missed Madison Rayne. I know. Don't worry.
Actually, she's not that bad when she's not screaming.
This is a good point.
The problem is the girl has a scream that would make a dog's eardrums burst.
You're going to hate this one. Vicky Guerrero and Madison Rayne in the same ring together, and they're doing a screaming match.
Get out of my head, Rock. Get out of my head. I was just thinking the same thing. It's like, I wonder if they could have a scream off. Oh, God, that would be horrible. Never mind.
The announcers talked about how D'Angelo De Niro is out with a broken collarbone, which means the three men who still have matches with him, well, they gotta do something, and Sting told them they're gonna have a three-way tonight instead of wrestling De Niro in a match, so.
Makes sense. It's better than somebody giving him his De Niro's points, which were minimal, and, you know, having them not really matter, so. He gives them a good opportunity. And with that, we actually moved into the first of those matches, which was Robbie E and his glorious 5 points versus Rob Van Dam sitting at 55 versus AJ Styles sitting at 50.
They gave these guys time.
They did, and it was a good match.
Good match. Better than I thought it would be with Robbie E. Looks like he's improving in the ring somewhat.
He is.
Because he's been able to work with some of the top guys now, so he's getting a little more experience, which is good for him.
Yeah, that's always a plus. And
I just find it funny that most of Robbie E's main, like, show-off offense came during the commercial break.
Not supposed to mention that.
By the
way... We're allowed to watch the commercial show.
By the way, for those of you that don't know what Mace is talking about, TNA Impact is actually up on YouTube. You can watch it either on TV or on YouTube, and they actually have it where it streams constant. There are no commercials, so you see everything that happens on the commercial breaks on YouTube. So go check it out, because it's actually more awesome, and you get to 2 full hours of wrestling, which is insane.
And you never know who's going to show up.
You don't.
No, because JB's always live, and it's quite entertaining. So check it out. Something new
especially
and different.
When, Especially when it's JB and Bully Ray. I heard those two together.
They are great together. In a surprising move, Robbie E snuck in and got a win over, and pinned Rob Van Dam after he hit the frog splash on AJ Styles.
So he's up to 12 points!
Cool. He's still in last place!
Well, I mean, realistically, what can you do? You don't want to have Rob or AJ move up any further. And so you throw Robbie in there, you give the win to him. It helps move him up, and it doesn't hurt RVD or AJ to have them take the loss at this point, especially somebody like Robbie E.
Instead of probably doing the match, you probably could have given them, like, I don't know, 3 points. 3 points for a no-show or something, and everybody just stays in the same ranking. But the match was good enough, so, you know, good on them for doing it.
Yeah, definitely a nice match. I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, it was solid stuff. Good entertaining match for the evening. A nice triple threat. Good stuff.
It was a nice recovery from the girls' match.
It really was.
Hey, at least they put females on their television show.
This is true. Moving on. Up next is Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, Jeff Hardy came out and basically said, you know, it's not going to be a Bound for Glory series match. No, he's calling a man he had recent history with. He wants Robbie T.
Why? I don't know, but we had Jeff Hardy.
So we can have the other half of the horrible sweater scrub?
So, yeah, so I can scream and yell at the TV, fiery, fiery, Bernie Death! I will find that closet, goddammit. One of these days, I will make it to Jersey, and I will take that goddamn thing out. It will be on 6 o'clock news, too.
Sweet. Always looking out for it.
Yeah. Well, you actually might be able to see the fire cloud from your house.
This is true.
Just warn Omega if you're doing it in the impact zone, though. Because you got to remember, he travels with some of that stuff.
This is true. I may have to make 2 trips.
Anyway, Jeff Hardy defeated Robbie T. not much you can say about the match. It was there.
It was short. It was an obvious win for Hardy. I mean, yeah, it was there. I wasn't surprised to see Hardy win.
No, I don't think anyone was. Then backstage, we had Daniels and Kazarian.
And the return of the Apple Teeny!
Daniel says Styles thinks all of the answers are coming tonight, but he hasn't heard all of the questions yet, and then Daniels tried to get Kazarian to drink the Apple Teeny.
It's sugar, it's good for you.
Dude, if he's sharing that shit, I want some. Pass the bottle, man. Just pass the bottle.
We need, in bottle form, the Christopher Daniels endorsed Apple Teeny for sale at shoptna.com.
We do. You know what? He's already in the latest issue of The Amazing Spider-Man, and they released a limited edition shirt for it. So why can't we get the Apple Teeny mix? Come on, TNA.
Get on it. Backstage, Sting looked serious into a camera and taunted Aces and AIDS. He said he's not hiding and he's easy to find, and he challenges them to find him tonight.
It's showtime!
Yeah, I had to watch this on mute. I really did. Oh, God. It was a good promo, but yeah, for him screaming is just, no, don't ever do that again. Please don't ever do that again. But
does it 4 more times tonight.
I know he does. That's what's scary. We had a lot of sting.
But at this point in time, it is showtime for AJ Styles.
Yeah, in your segment of the evening brought to you by Maury Povich, we had AJ Styles come to the ring, and he said he's had the paternity test, and tonight we're going to find out who the daddy is of Claire Lynch's baby. By the way, in case you've been living under a rock, Claire Lynch has quit TNA.
Yeah, she has.
She went back to her day job as olive oil, which, not judging, just saying.
Just putting it out there. AJ Styles told he apologized to the fans, his family, his friends, for having to suffer through all this crap.
Not his wife. I love it.
He said family.
No, she should have gotten a special shout out.
Good point.
If this was real life and he had been accused of knocking up another girl, he would have been apologizing to his wife first. Just pointing that out.
He said there's a night in his life that he can't remember and he wishes never existed. He said something happened that night with Claire, but he doesn't know what. Talked about if he is the father of Claire's baby, our baby, he will accept the responsibility for that child.
Right. And I
baby,
think
baby, oh baby.
He said if it's not his child, he doesn't want to speak to hear another word or from Daniels or Kazarian ever again as long as they shall live.
And at this point, Jeremy Borash called out Claire Lynch. Of course, she wasn't there. So instead, we got Christopher Daniels and Kazarian, minus the Apple Teeny. Kazarian said to cut the crap and that AJ is only protecting himself and it makes him sick. AJ said Styles is bullying and is an absentee father. And also, it is Styles' fault for prisoners. I don't know. Anyway, I'm looking at the recaps. Kazarian said he needs to be concerned about the baby, blah, 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 blah. Damage talks about that the damage has already been done. Then they talk about Claire, goes on and on and on, and basically they just provided the disruption. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. She wasn't there because of a placental disruption.
Yeah. This then brought out a woman. I don't remember what her name was. I think the last name was Stein, I think.
Random lawyer woman.
Random lawyer woman came to the ring, and, you know, she was the attorney for Claire Lynch. Daniels, you know, didn't want her to talk at all.
Okay, at this point, why didn't we get Joseph Parks out?
I don't know! It should have been.
TNA has a lawyer character on hand. Use him!
Well, as we'll talk about after we get through this, he may show back up in the storyline because it may not be fully done. But, yeah, lawyer came out. Daniels was having nothing of it. He kept trying to shut her up. She finally told him to STFU. And that lawyer said that basically Claire was approached by Daniels and Kaz to blackmail AJ. She said she did some illegal activities and spiked AJ's beverage, photos were taken, that they were fraudulent, and that Claire took responsibility for her actions. The truth is Lynch was never pregnant. And Daniels and Cass start circling around. She basically, the lawyer apologizes to Styles, asks for his forgiveness on Claire's behalf, that she cannot convey Claire's deep regrets. Blah, 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 blah. Daniels and Kaz are in denial. Styles attacked Daniels, and both his opponents leave and rejoice. It's over.
I guess that's all they could have done. I hope that wasn't the original end. I honestly...
It wasn't. That was a... Oh my god, the discovery of our actress has been known. She's freaking out that it may cost her other work, so we're going to hide and destroy everything.
Yeah, because she decided to up and quit a couple weeks ago, and it's like, oh, they're now fucked. So.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this was the best way they could have done it. Rock and I were actually talking about scenarios. One of it is one of them was that AJ gets the paternity test, and he finds a note on his bag. It's from Claire. She's leaving. She's not coming back. And either A, she made the whole thing up, or B, she actually admits that AJ is not the father. Paternity test confirms it, and it's done. So, I mean, this was a best case scenario for them to blow this off.
Yeah, it was.
But it should have involved Joseph Park.
Yeah, may she have a little update on that?
Well, just going by what happened on the TNA post-show available via their website, YouTube, and everything else that can stream a video, we had interaction between JB, SoCal Val, Christopher Daniels, and Kaz. Basically, Daniels was up in arms about the whole lawyer coming out, putting out the claims. They say that the claims are false. It's a defamation of character. All of a sudden, Daniels is trying to mug Soquel Val for her phone because supposedly she has Joseph Park's phone number. Gets him on the phone. Funny little conversation between the two about getting show tickets. And all of a sudden, Parks hangs up on Daniels. I guess Daniels is the guy who's been getting Joseph Park into the arena. But I don't know whether that's storyline or whether that was just them fucking around. Either way, it was amusing.
It could play up to two. It plays on two different storylines, possibly. It could play on something to do with the Aces and Eights, or it could play possibly that Joseph Parks is going to be involved in this whole mess at some point.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the storyline could continue without Claire. It's actually better if it does. Or you now have Styles and Kaz going after AJ for defamation of character with Joseph Parks. And who the fuck cares, because it's bringing Joseph Parks back into the mix.
Yeah, but Parks isn't taking the case, so...
Fail?
Yeah.
Anyway, afterwards, we saw the gut check segment. He basically says he's going to blow the roof off the arena tonight. Yay. Backstage, we had our next installment of Aces and Eights. They're walking around. Sting approaches them and says that this is all about games. And it's called 52 Card Pickup, where he sprays a bunch of cards. Then out of nowhere, Hulk Hogan shows up in all black. Sting tosses him a bat, and they beat the crap out of the Aces and Eights. And Hogan says if they attack his daughter again, which they technically didn't do, they stalked her. But anyway, he would feed them to his dog.
Oh, brother.
Which technically was Hogan, because he was trying to do his best Pitbull impression.
Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
No.
Anyway, I guess them taking it old school.
Fuck you, San Francisco!
I'm
still playing Madden.
You're now San Francisco. Okay.
No, I'm playing as the New York Giants against San Francisco. They just intercepted my pass and ran it for a 50-yard touchdown.
Go Giants!
Fucker.
No, fuck the Giants. Go 49ers!
Anyway, he was doing his best warrior with the snorting and growling and stuff. But yeah, Hollywood Hogan's back, brother.
Yeah, he had the beard, he was in all black, and I guess that's what they mean when they said they're taking it old school, they're taking it NWO. Moving
and
on.
This is where I suddenly had a nice little theory about Hulk Hogan being the leader of Aces and Eights.
You did.
Because all of a sudden everybody's seen the more aggressive, the more angry version of Hulk Hogan instead of the icon Hulk Hogan that they like to call him. So it's making me wonder if maybe Hogan is behind this.
Possibly.
And he's just playing everybody for fools.
By the way, that was the weakest bat shot ever, I'm just saying.
Oh, we're going to get into it with Hogan in the fight scene.
But with the bat in this scene, it's like he swung the bat and hit three guys and he barely swung the bat.
Oh, I know. But I've got complaints about him for the end of the show.
Okay.
But yeah.
We'll get there.
Hogan in this segment, it was eh. And I liked Mace's theory to a point, but it seems like it would be such a waste to have Hogan be the leader of the Aces and Eights. It would actually make me cry a little.
Yes. At this point, we got a video package for Alex Silva, the first gut check, and he talks about what winning meant to him, and he's training at OVW. And then it's brought up gut check time, according to Jeremy Borash. This is your gut check. Chris Louis, I think that was the name, versus Gunner.
Yeah. By the way, when the hell did Gunner go face?
I don't think he's face. He's just out there.
Okay.
This match was a train wreck. Can't even sugarcoat it. It was a train wreck.
Yeah, it was actually painful to watch. It was like nails going across the chalkboard. It just, oh God. This was just no.
The weakest looking gut check so far, Chris Louie can't go. And it's going to be one of those where they're trying to tell more of the story with him, and they're going to make the gut check more emotional next week when they do the whole segment in the ring. But
what happened with Joey Ryan?
He's not under contract. He is under contract. He wants to get a contract. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not positive. He's on Twitter, a big Twitter person.
Well, I know that. I see him and Al Snow talking smack all the time, but they were having him on TV, then he wasn't on TV, and he was interfering in the gut check segments, and...
We may see him next week. I think he kind of shows up at least once a month, so next week would be the perfect time for him.
Okay, good point.
But yeah, this was not a good match, and this better be a no next week. Just.
Yeah, kids got heart, but... Match was a no. Sorry.
But his sob story.
Yeah, no.
He has no job. He has no work. He's trying to support his family. It sounds as Vatican's tribe. There's a fucking, you know, talent show story.
You know what? Rock and I were having a conversation about this last week where I was complaining about the sob story, and my first reaction was, you know what, dude? We all have dreams, but go get a fucking job. Seriously. If you're not cutting it in your dream, go get a day job.
Just saying.
We all have one. You might as well get used to it.
This then brought up a nice little 30-second segment, which was hilarious.
I heart ODB. Oh my God. Apparently she never got the chicken and she's still hungry for it.
She wants her chicken, and she wants him to stop fishing and, you know, come catch his wife.
Yeah, I think the exact phrase was, she needs Young to fish at her Great Lakes. Bam, baby!
ODB is fantastic, and she still wants her chicken. That's all.
Yeah.
And then she started hitting off the guy, you know, off camera.
Yeah, I heart her. I really do. I wish they used her more. She's just awesome. But yeah, this leads to...
I just love the comment that was like, hey you, come here. Are you legal?
Yes. That was great. Like, get it on, girl. Go for it. But after this led to Mr. Anderson getting in the ring for the next and his last Bound for Glory series match, which you had Mr. Anderson sitting at 40 points going against Bully Ray sitting at 48. And there was actually a funny moment in this where Bully Ray glared at a fan and almost dropped his phone, and then the fan posed like Hulk Hogan. It was funny. Yeah.
During the point of match, we saw Robbie T, Gunner, and Kurt Angle beating up some aces and eights. Anderson won this matchup via pinfall with the mic check. Here's the thing. They told us before the match that Anderson would need 10 points to get above the red line of death, as they called it, or doom or something. But a pinfall only gets you 7 points, so... If you were Anderson, wouldn't you be going for submissions rather than pinfalls in the match?
He's not the brightest cigarette in the box, okay?
They missed an opportunity where they could have told a better story. Good match, but they could have told a better story. And he could have came up short with trying for submissions. Just my theory.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. It was a good match. It was definitely entertaining, but yeah, Anderson needed a... If you wanted him in the top, above the line of death, should have gone for the submission, but they apparently don't want him in there, so he's done.
He's done. He got 7 points. He's out of matches in the Bound for Glory series.
Yeah, but So Anderson finishes with a respectable 47, but they updated the stats. Again, as we said, Anderson's out. And then this is where the real aces and eights finally stood up. Yes, the guys that were backstage before, that got beat up at the beginning of the show, those were not the real aces and eights. The real deep throat guy showed up.
Well, first, we had more little fake ones show up. They got destroyed by Sting and the rest of the bunch, who all came to the ring to start off the segment, and yeah.
Yeah, and then the real aces and eights showed up. They said that they're playing games and they're done, and soon they'll be unleashing hells. They're basically ready to deal the dead man's hand.
So who's gonna get it? Who knows? Because we had everyone in the ring, they wanted a fight, and everyone started fighting all around the building.
Yeah, basically they went to commercial, they came back, and everybody's in the ring, aces and eights show up in the ring, backstage, and all hell breaks loose. In the ring you had Sting, and I think Angle was out there, Anderson was out there, Bully Ray was out there, Gunner.
You had a whole bunch of people, and they were all fighting over in the back, all over the arena. What seemed fake was the Hogan stuff.
Oh my god, Hulk Hogan, if you are going to be hitting people, don't just, you know, brush them. Actually try to make it look real, because yeah, he, even his throw was weak. I get that he had just had surgery, I understand that, but if you can't do it right, don't do it. Please just don't do it.
Yeah, it was an interesting little brawl. It ended up with the aces and eights in the ring with Austin Aries, and well, he got destroyed by the aces and eights.
That looked like it hurt.
They brought the guardrail into the ring and they slammed a chair onto his arm.
Yeah, and he sold that like a champ. And then at that point, Bully Ray runs back down to the ring, chases the aces and eights out, and then magically they made it to the back in 2.5 seconds, and they left on their motorcycles to end the show.
It was, it's the show. What do you think?
I actually enjoyed it. What did you all think?
It was better than Raw.
This is true.
This is very true. It didn't make our head hurt. It was a good show. There was nothing wrong with the show. It advanced some storylines. The one problem with the show tonight, and they're gonna have to really make up for it next week, is they have a pay-per-view coming up in 2 weeks, and we know nothing.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the final Bound for Glory matches, probably, and then there will be a title match, and... I don't like a ruthless impact. Bobby, come back. I miss seeing you. Please come back. You're so pretty. But I liked it overall. I thought it was better than Raw. It made sense. My only qualm with it was they had a lot of aces and eights members. I mean, it's like it's the group that never ends. They just go on and on and on.
But that was okay for a night, because it was able to have them look weak, but at the same time they'll end up looking strong when the real aces and eights characters, as we saw at the end, show up.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where they go with this, but they need to do a reveal on them soon, or we need to get more from them soon, because them doing the run-ins and the attacks and the video packages is starting to wear a little thin.
Yeah, and I think tonight was the start of the brawling. I think we're going to get more of a story leading into No Surrender and coming out of it.
So, but any other thoughts on the show? Do we want to grade it? Do we want to move on?
Solid show, B. B minus, solid show.
Okay. Mace?
Yeah, solid show. It's at least a B.
And that's what we say every week. It's a B. It's a solid wrestling show.
Yeah, I'd give it a B. I mean, it's consistent. And that's what I like about it.
That's all you can hope for here from your wrestling show, is a consistent show.
It's
better than Raw.
Yeah, it's better than Raw. So, yeah, if you only watch Monday Night Raw or you only watch WWE, please give TNA a chance. The wrestling is fantastic. The show makes sense. It's logical. It doesn't make your head hurt. And it's entertaining to watch.
Yes.
And Bobby Roode and James Storm are hot. Just saying. But on that note, we're going to take our second break of the evening.
Yeah,
so we can kind
of... Yeah, as we were going to take our second break, reminder, our question of the night. Is Eddie Guerrero's career over-glorified due to his death?
So we'll be talking about that towards the end of the show, but coming up, we've got our Tweet of the Week. And we're debuting a new segment. We're going to be looking ahead to SmackDown this week. So stay tuned, and you're listening to The Rack, brought to you by PWMania.com, and we will be right back. Essentially, I'm the best that's ever gonna be. I hold my ground, you never take it from under me. Don't run to me, it's gonna be trouble. I hit you so many times, you see triple or double instead of one of me. I got more heart, more ways to tear you apart. I lay you down early on, or maybe in the later round. It's no different to me, if you tap out, cash out, or simply pass out for three. Cause you face down, really, barely alive. Cause I'm an animal inside, hear me?
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise scene business.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is...
Yeah. Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Hey, man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Ain't brushed them teeth since 1983.
Well, that ain't good.
The
government of Leopard's only got one arm. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
And I don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can. Watch late night C-SPAN. And rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team, and you're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on Wild Talk Radio and brought to you by PWMania.com. Sorry, something tried to come up when something else is going down, and take that however you want. But if you're just joining us, we were talking about Impact, reviewing it, looking it over, and we're now going to go ahead and move forward to one of our favorite segments, which is Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So who wants to go first?
I'll go first, I guess. It comes from our favorite apple teeny drinker in Christopher Daniels. He said, fun RVD fact. Bob and I have the same barber, and we meet there once a week to play a rousing game of checkers. True story. I can't. Now I want to see that on TV. RVD and Daniels playing checkers.
That would be awesome.
What about you, Lindsay? What's your tweet of the week?
Mine comes from the one, the only, Cranky Vince.
Oh, Christ.
I heart this parody. Eve of my 67th birthday, doing nude leapfrogs with the boys down here at the gay supper club, feeling like I'm 40 all over again.
Shout out to the Phantom. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Phantom.
Mace, do you have a tweet?
I do, and it starts out with a tweet that goes on a nice little adventure. This comes from one of my favorite funny men on the planet, Gabriel Iglesias. Mm-hmm. If you have not seen him, do so. He's absolutely hilarious, very funny guy. It seems that he has started getting some help in some weight loss. I'll reveal who's helping him in a minute. Well, you'll probably get it during the tweet. I'm still sweating from a 30-minute workout with DDP Yoga. Your program should come with a sham wow, bro. See,
nice.
not only is Gabriel done DDP Yoga, as a lot of people should, DDP has been helping him get his life on track. Today, throughout the day, we've been getting pictures from Gabriel of going shopping with DDP.
Oh my god, that'd be awesome!
Basically, another tweet, which I'll also throw into our little chat. Grocery shopping with Diamond Dallas Page, aka DDP Yoga. He dragged my ass to Whole Foods, so much for Burger King. And he even attaches a photo of looking very forlorn as he's looking at health foods with DDP.
Aww. But that's awesome. I wouldn't mind going shopping with DDP.
Yeah, so follow Gabriel Iglesias, that's at Fluffy Guy, as he goes to transform his life with DDP Yoga.
And follow at DDP Yoga, and check out the interview we did with him.
Indeed.
Because it's awesome. 75 minutes of talking to Diamond Dallas Page, or rather him talking to us.
Yeah.
Because he just told us stories for over an hour, and it was fabulous.
Yeah, so check out the archive right here, wildtalkradio.com.
So anyway, moving forward, we're not going to give away spoilers, but rather than do the normal SummerSlam recap, since everybody's talked about it, and if you actually want to hear the three of us give our full thoughts on it, tune into Wrestle Talk Radio, the archive. We talked about it on there at length, so we didn't want to do it again.
Right.
So Rock and I decided that, well, Why don't we talk about SmackDown? Because nobody else ever does.
Yeah,
so
no one does this. No one actually sits there and talks about SmackDown. We're not going to talk results or spoilers. We're going to tell you what's coming up and, you know, how they're getting there.
Yeah, and basically we're going to kind of include a mini SummerSlam recap in with the with talking about the upcoming SmackDown.
Right.
So, and I will do my best. I'm actually reading this off the spoilers, so if I accidentally give away the results, I am so terribly sorry.
it's okay, but what the show starts off with, the basis of the show on Friday is what basically comes out of what happened on Raw. We're going to determine a new number one contender on SmackDown for Sheamus' world title.
Oh, thank you, God.
we're gonna base it all on that. That's what the show is being based around. You have two men who want to fight for it. Those two men, Randy Orton and Alberto Del Rio.
Oh, crap. Sorry. Yes, Randy Orton is back from his hiatus. For those of you that weren't paying attention, he was not on SummerSlam. I never actually did hear the official reason other than they had nothing for him.
They didn't want to give him a big program because he's going to be going bye-bye in the near future.
That's right. He's going to go do his next movie.
Yes.
So, but Randy Orton is back, and he is facing the disgruntled Alberto Del Rio in a number one contenders match for Sheamus, which, right, please, please, for the love of God, even though I enjoy the hell out of looking at Alberto Del Rio, please let this program end. Please.
Yeah.
Cannot stand. I'm sorry. The match with Sheamus at SummerSlam was crap, and the stuff they did on Raw was just eh.
Speaking of things that happened during Raw, another one of the big stories going to SmackDown this week is Dolph Ziggler and his quest to become world champion with the briefcase. We're going to see a lot of teases, and we're actually going to see a matchup. Sheamus and Dolph Ziggler will fight on SmackDown.
Am I the only one that felt that the way Raw should have closed with Dolph Ziggler is Cena doesn't get the title shot, so Dolph runs out and says, "Punk, you're the best in the world, now where the hell is my world title match, or my WWE championship match?" Am I the only one that felt that?
It would have been different. It made some sense. But, you know, WWE logic, they don't have it.
Yeah. And yet another basically these are all continuations of Raw, with, I think, one exception. We have the Ryback being unleashed.
Yeah, Ryback and Jinder Mahal will finally clash one-on-one.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to this. I can hardly stand it. Yeah, basically, if you weren't paying attention on Raw, Jinder Mahal came out and attacked the Ryback, put him in the Cobra Clutch, Camel Clutch.
Yeah, the Ryback broke out of it on Raw, and, well, Mahal ran for his life. The coming off of SummerSlam, though, the big thing is, Josh Matthews went flying.
He did. We don't think he's landed yet.
No, we don't. And apparently, not what I thought originally, because I'm reading a different set, is we're going to have a rotating panel of commentators. Not just the one Teddy Long.
Oh, God.
So it's going to make the commentary on SmackDown really interesting.
That means I may actually have to listen to it. Crap! I don't want to.
I know you don't want to. And one of the other story that's playing off of what happened at SummerSlam when Kofi Kingston and R-Truth kept the titles, we're going to see the tag team champions in action against another contending team in Epico and Primo. So it's going to make the tag team scenes going to get really interesting on SmackDown, and it'll lead to some different matches, hopefully, in the coming weeks ahead.
Which I'm actually kind of looking forward to. It's nice that they're putting a focus back on tag team wrestling again, which they've been teasing us with, but, I mean, you look at all the tag teams that they have, and it's way more than it has been in the past, which is nice. Right. And they're getting a focus.
Right. And one of the things, from what I, without giving things away, they're bringing logic into the contendership.
Go figure.
I didn't know WWE understood it or knew how That's to true. Portray it. But it's Hunter's doing. But they're going to attempt it, at least with the tag team division. That's all I'm going to say about it. You'll just have to tune in tomorrow night for Friday Night SmackDown and see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and the girls are going to make an appearance. Layla, who wasn't allowed to talk on Monday, is facing random out of random, Alicia Fox, in a match.
And we're also going to see Sin Cara in action against the one-man rock band Heath Slater.
Chirp, chirp.
Sounds like an absolutely another riveting week of SmackDown that I'm so glad I get to avoid.
So, yeah.
It's going to be interesting SmackDown. We'll talk about it next week, the goings-on, and continue to preview the shows as the weeks go by, because no one else does it, because, you know.
Yeah.
We're not doing a post-SmackDown show.
God, no. No, 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 no. We don't need any more shows on this network. We're good.
Well, that was a no?
That was a no.
Okay. Okay.
Remember, no means no.
I thought nope. Anyway.
Anyway, discussion time!
Yes, discussion time. Where do we want to begin?
Well, I say we begin with the user-submitted question, or the listener-submitted question. I don't know why I'm calling them a user. We're not a perk. I believe Kane Kitten sent this in.
Yes, he did.
Basically, Kane Kitten sent this question to us, asking us, in our opinion, who do we think is better as far as their return? Did Jericho, Lesnar, who had the better return, Jericho or Lesnar, or do we think neither one had the better return? What is our opinion on this? And chat room, please feel free to chime in and give us your opinion on this as well. So let's start with Mace.
I'll be completely honest with you and say neither really had an impressive re-entry. Jericho bounces back and forth and in and out of wrestling so much that his returns are pretty much non-factor. Lesnar showing up, I couldn't have cared less. Wasn't a fan of Brock. And frankly, having him around has just been a gigantic waste of $5 million. Because, you know, they could have put that money to something else, like be a star or something. Or paying their mid-carders better payouts from WrestleMania.
True that. What about you, Rock?
I'm going to have to go Brock Lesnar. Because the Chris Jericho return, while he wrestled a lot, in his two real feuds, nothing was really gained from them. CM Punk really didn't get anything out of the feud with Chris Jericho, and neither did Dolph Ziggler. And we'll get to that in a minute. But my answer is Brock Lesnar. He came in, had a really good match with John Cena, something we haven't seen. They had a good match at Extreme Rules. The match at SummerSlam was decent. It wasn't the fight we were hoping for, but as far as the match, it was decent. Lesnar had more of an impact. His return was better. Jericho just seemed wishy-washy. There was no real... When Jericho usually returns, there's a big hype about it, and this one was like, oh, we know it's Jericho, and, you know, he didn't say anything for a while, and it just didn't go anywhere. His return was and this time around.
Okay. Phantom in the chat room is saying that it's Jericho. He was sick of Lesnar before he even showed up. And let's see. And as far as Brock went, the only thing he liked about that return was seeing Paul Heyman on the mic again. And I think Kane Kittens, if I remember correctly, went with Jericho.
he could say something in chat because I don't have his email in front of me. So,
King Kittens, who did you go with?
Because I don't have his email in front of me. So, yeah, remind us what your idea was. Yeah, so there, that's that.
I don't get to give an opinion?
No, I'm just going for what's that. That's that in the chat room. Go.
Okay. He liked Jericho better. Okay. Trying to take over my show. I see how this is. And nobody responds.
I was being good. Just go. I'll just sit here.
Hey, I'm not trying to take over anything. I'm just here as a contributor, okay?
Oh, wow. Anyway, I'm going to have to kind of go with neither. Just because Jericho, he had the nice videos, which were great. They made everybody speculate. They made everybody talk. It got a nice buzz going. And then he came back and was a smiling baboon, running around for 5 weeks, giving us absolutely nothing before we actually got a feud out of him. And Brock, I honestly don't even remember him. I know he came back the night after Mania, but I don't remember what the circumstances of it were. And he's just, like Mace said, been a colossal waste of time since then. He got a good match out of Cena, and he got an okay match out of Triple H, but other than that, it's just been one letdown after another with him, and really with both of them. I mean, I wasn't really impressed either time, especially knowing that they're both so temporary. I mean, for Jericho and for Brock, especially Brock, it's you're here to collect a paycheck and that's it. You could give two fucks about this. So, yeah, and TJ Omega, who is listening,
go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, if he wants to make witty comments, he should really call in.
But, you know, he's not a part of this show. He doesn't want to do this show. He won't, call into the show.
But Omega is saying Jericho. Both have done little, but at least Chris has been a little entertaining.
Wait, he said Jericho?
He said Jericho. Surprise, surprise.
So shocked.
Said Jericho.
I will give Chris Jericho credit, though. He showed up, and he wrestled every chance he could. He did Raws, he did SmackDowns. So he gave his full commitment when he returned. He did house shows. And he kicked flags at the same time. But still.
Yes, he did. He got suspended for 30 days. But, yeah, I mean, it goes a little bit more to Jericho just because the CM Punk feud with Jericho was amazing.
Yes.
Especially at Extreme Rules.
They had a good
match.
That
match was epic.
Yeah, they had a good match.
And then his latest feud with Ziggler, even though Ziggler really didn't gain anything from it, the matches we got were top-notch.
Oh, Lindsay.
Yes? Do we have an Omega?
We have a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to the rack.
I'm making a run in.
With a chair?
I'm sitting on a chair.
Or a Decepticon.
No, if you want me to hit Rock with a chair, I'll hit him with a chair.
No, don't hit me with a chair.
Can I think about it?
You have to think. Oh, we're done. That's it.
By the way, did you get my picture of the Decepticon car?
Yes.
I tailed that car just to get that picture, so you know. It's like, oh my god, where's Omega when I need him? So, I read your response on air. Do you want to elaborate any further before we move on?
Well, you read it incorrectly because you completely spoiled the joke.
Well, fine. Give us the joke.
So I should have called in because, yes, because both have done little, but Jericho's little was at least entertaining. Okay, I can at least laugh when I see the light bright jacket, okay? You know, Jericho, I know, is going to cut a good promo, whether he's a face or a heel. I know he's going to put on a good match. I know he's actually going to wrestle on a free show, possibly more than once per month. So at least, if it hasn't been productive, he's been there. it's temporary, but you know, he's not egotistical about it. He knows where his spot is on the roster, and he's, you know, he is doing his job in that spot. Whereas Brock, just Brock has the deal he has because he thinks he's way bigger than that. You know, he doesn't want to travel with the WWE. He wants to do limited dates. He wants to, yeah, he wants to show up, collect a check, and leave. He has no interest in improving the company or helping the locker room at all. He's there for himself.
Well, they made it apparent Brock isn't there to help the locker room just because of the fact of who they put him against. I mean, Brock, right out of the gate, got John Cena, who is the top guy in your company.
Yeah.
Then he gets Triple H. He's probably going to get Taker at Mania. Brock isn't there to put anybody over. Which, in my opinion, is a waste. I mean, if you're going to do matches with Cena and Hunter, I understand Brock has limited dates, and that's WWE's fault for that. They could have easily had Brock agree to do just Raws, and that's it. Or do a pay-per-play deal where they call him, they need him, he shows up, and he collects a check, and you have Brock actually give some guys a rub. And give some of the lower level guys a chance to go up against him.
It's just
too logical.
Yeah. See, this would require Brock to think. We know how that goes.
I thought that's why he had Paul Heyman.
She's got a point.
See, that's who should have been in the question, because his return has been the best of those three.
Yeah, but, you know, King Henson sent that in. Shame on you.
I was actually going to say Heyman originally, but I was like, I'll stick to the question because it's easier.
If you would like to send us questions, it's media@wildtalkradio.com, and we will, you know, discuss them on the show.
Yes.
But before we move on, we have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome to the rack.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's on your mind, birthday boy?
Hey. Yeah, well, I was going to echo the sentiments of Omega, because best return ever was Paul Heyman. Like, the only reason, like I said before, the only reason I like Brock Lesnar coming back was I loved seeing Paul Heyman and Triple H play verbal ping pong on the mic. It was awesome. Loved it. Every bit of it. That was the moment on Raw that I was looking forward to every time I watched the show. I wanted to see Heyman come out. Now,
yeah.
He's just fucking gold on the mic. I mean, y'all would see it on my Twitter or whatever. It's like, I love it when he comes out. But, as far as, Lindsay, I agree with you. Brock was a waste of time, money. And I'll be honest, every time I see Brock, all I can think of was WrestleMania 20. You sold out. You sold out. You sold out. Everyone, I mean, like whenever I first saw the fact that they were trying to bring him back, I was just wondering, what the fuck are you guys thinking? He's a waste of time. He's a waste of money. He's not going to put anyone over, and everyone knows he's only going to be there for a limited amount of time, and he's only going to want the matches that he wants. He's going to basically he's signing a contract to tell you what to do. It's stupid. You should never go into deals like that. It was bad for business, bad for wrestling, bad for everybody. No one won out of the end except Brock.
Go ahead. Your show.
Oh, I was just going to say, my only issue with Brock is, other than everything I've just said, is everybody gave The Rock such shit because he sold out, he left, you know, he said he was done with wrestling, he shit on the business. Brock did the same thing, except worse. And he was welcomed back with open arms, and I think that irritated me slightly, because this is the guy that up and quit. He walked out. He walked away, he turned his back on the fans, and he took a big shit on him while he was at it. And he went over to UFC.
Well, to tell you the truth, man, Brock Lesnar shit on WWE. He shit on wrestling long before he left. During his last title run, you could almost sense in his character. There was no attempt to sell anything. He I mean, like, his effort even to put over Eddie Guerrero, who we'll mention later on tonight, his effort to even put over Eddie Guerrero in his title win at No Way Out was horrible. He could have done so much more to put Eddie over if they were going to swap the title, but, like, he wasn't there to put anyone over. All Brock Lesnar was basically the modern-day Ultimate Warrior. He just came out there to beat people, didn't sell worth the crap, didn't give a damn about anybody else, and had an ego about as big as the size of the state of Texas. You know, just a horrible worker. Everything, he's like a superstar, and no one wrestling doesn't like, you know, guys like him. They don't need him, but the only reason they employ him is because they draw.
I will play a little bit of devil's advocate here. The reason we got Brock Lesnar, despite his past, despite his betrayals, despite just being a general asshole, he was brought back in because the WWE acknowledged to themselves they are really starving for top talent right now that they can drive main attention-grabbing storylines with. It's why we're seeing Sheamus get such a long title push. It's why they're building up Ziggler. It's, you know, they're just now getting with a program that our talent roster is really depleted. We need big stars, and we need to build them from what we have now if we are going to have a company in the future. Brock is really just a placeholder for the next year to buy time. It's a storyline that they can run, that they can put a focus on a pre-built star that doesn't need any build-up because everyone knows him, and he is, unfortunately, a big deal. But once it's over, you know, it's okay, so dark clouds, but there's a rainbow at the end. Because by then we'll actually have some people to carry the company.
And the question that we hope. That's a thing.
We hope.
Because we're going to get to that in a minute. But yeah, go ahead, Phelan.
Well, here's the only thing. The only problem I have with that. You know, we talked about this months ago, especially talking about the WrestleMania card. The fact of the matter is, they're, like, as far as their mid-card talent is concerned, look at how horribly, I mean, like, it's about damn time they got Dolph Ziggler, you know, a chance, you know, a shot, at least a glimpse at looking at the world title or building them up and building him up to it. But the way they're even handling that is horrible. It's horrible.
Let me ask you, we're going to just jump right into it. Let me ask you the question we're going to discuss. Is WWE more interested right now in creating television characters rather than creating stars?
Television characters. That's simple as hell. It's no different because if they were interested in promoting wrestling, Cody Rhodes would have been a champion a long time ago. Dolph Ziggler would have been a champion a long time ago. If they were there to produce wrestling, actual wrestling, Brock Lesnar would have had no need to actually be there. No, they're interested in drawing fans, and they're interested in television characters. That's all they're interested in.
So would you think this is WWE's biggest downfall?
WWE's biggest downfall? Actually, to tell you the truth, I mean, you know, present company excluded, you know, wrestling fans, for the majority, are dumb. They're dumb.
Yeah, they are.
Why? Because they always talk about how good they always talk about Goldberg. They always talk about they want like Stone Cold and all them back. Everyone thinks Goldberg is such an awesome wrestler. No, Goldberg sucked balls. And that's what I want to tell people. Like Goldberg was just a horrible wrestler, and I hated watching him wrestle, even though he was like dominant as hell. He just couldn't sell worth the shit.
the idea behind Goldberg is he's not so much a wrestler, he's a fireworks show. To be fair here, you watch an episode of WCW Nitro when Goldberg has a match. You are committed to Goldberg's match for maybe a minute. You see him completely.
It's about all his matches lasted.
I know. That's my point. That's my point. Your 2-hour and sometimes 3-hour show, you only have a minute dedicated to Goldberg. He comes in, he demolishes somebody, and he leaves. But that's not taking away from the 15-minute cruiserweight matches that everyone stuck around for.
Yeah,
but he's there as an event. He's the monster truck. He's the fireworks show. You know, and now.
Well, if I could cut in for a second, Kane Kitten's brought up an interesting point, and Phantom brought up an interesting point in mentioning that, you know, everybody compares this era to the Attitude Era. I think that may be the biggest problem, is a lot of wrestling fans, especially in our age bracket, are stuck in the past. And they can't get out of the fact that the Attitude Era is over. I mean, we sit here and we do the WTR riffs. So we go back and we watch stuff from the Attitude Era of WCW and WWE alike. And we have sat there and you can listen to it and we go, really? Seriously? This is what we all remember as the glory days? And what I think what we were remembering, because it's Rock and I were talking about WWE 13 and what some of the unlockable storylines might be, and it's, we remember Austin versus McMahon, Taker Foley, Brothers of Destruction, Rock's icy title run, you know, Rock's title run. We remember the big stars, the big storylines, those glory days. And we look at it with such rose-colored glasses. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry for interrupting you. But I'll bring up a point that we mentioned earlier in the show. We talked about, you know, why TNA, you know, why Impact is so much, it's even a marginally better wrestling show than Raw or SmackDown. You know why? Because Raw and SmackDown, what WWE is trying to do is it's trying to create a two-hour fireworks show. They're trying to make a roster almost an entirety of Goldbergs almost. Simply because they want that big dominating guy. They want that guy to come in like, it's almost like what they want Ryback to be almost. Except he's not going to be that. The reason why TNA is, the Impact is a much better wrestling show than Raw or SmackDown is because the matches are at least watchable. You actually have good wrestling on both of those shows, and it appeals to wrestling fans. If you want entertainment, by all means, watch Raw and SmackDown. But if you want to watch actual wrestling, watch Impact.
I can agree with that.
That's a good point, and they keep their storylines simple. They were not, like, going, what the fuck are they doing?
Unless it's an AJ story.
Unless it's an AJ story.
We're not going to mention that storyline.
Clara Lynch was the...
Kate Vic.
I was about to say that. Is Clara Lynch the Katie Vic of TNA?
Oh, Jesus.
That storyline was just... It started terrible and it ended terrible.
You know,
I'm sure there's a joke in there about somebody screwing somebody over, but yeah.
I was gonna make the joke of oh yeah, she wasn't pregnant, she's just fat.
Yeah, it was hysterical. It's like, okay, whoa, wait, you're telling me that AJ Styles is sleeping with Dixie Carter? It's like, no, I wouldn't sleep with my boss. No. I fucked a crackhead. What?
That was actually my logic as well.
Actually, I wouldn't have minded AJ sleeping with the boss, just because it's the Triple H thing all over again, where Triple H slept with Stephanie McMahon to get ahead. AJ's been sleeping with Dixie Carter from the get-go. He's now the face of the company.
Dixie Carter, as far as a cougar is concerned, is, you know, a lot better looking than Vicky Guerrero.
That's saying.
Got a point. Good point.
But yeah, I mean,
go ahead, Lindsay.
Go ahead.
Just to kind of bring it back around to the topic, I'd have to agree that WWE is interested in building TV characters versus stars, but I think what they miss is they can do both.
Well, that's the reason why TNA invested in Austin Aries and WWE's got CM Punk. Austin Aries, as a wrestler, can run circles around CM Punk.
I will give you that.
those words could cause wars, my friend.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I love watching Aries wrestle. I like watching CM Punk wrestle, but as far as as far as being technically sound and stuff like that, they're both right there. But I just like watching Aries. I just like watching Aries wrestle better than I do Punk.
If they let Punk work like he knows how to versus having him work a WWE style, I think it would be different.
Oh, that's the same thing with Daniel Bryan, and that's something I mentioned the night of WrestleMania as well. If they would actually let them work like they're supposed to work, it would be amazing. But WWE is more focused on creating television stars than they are in creating an actual good wrestling product.
The problem is that they don't want them to do anything that could possibly injure them. So they want it to tone down the high adrenaline style. Okay, but no. We've got kids watching, so keep it simple for them. Okay, you have three or four big moves that everyone can recognize. Just go out there, get the moves that everyone knows, and then come back. Where they don't have any room for creativity, because I remember seeing a clip of CM Punk and American Dragon Bryan Danielson.
Oh God, I love this match.
Someone showed me a clip of them where they get tangled up. They get their legs get tangled up. They go upside down, standing on their heads, and get into a slap fight upside down in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's creative. I've never seen that before.
I like watch. You ever watch some clips of like Cole Cabana and Christopher Daniels, like in little like the matches that you just want to laugh at? They'll get themselves like tied up in like these little pinning situations, just roll around the ring in a ball. It was hilarious. I love
it. Oh, dude! If you want hilarious, I don't know if it's still out on YouTube, but try looking up Jay Lethal, Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, and I think Samoa Joe in a dance off.
I've seen that. That is hilarious. I was on the floor in tears. That was awesome.
but it's again trying to rope it back over.
See, that was awesome, but that was an entertainment segment.
Yeah, it's awesome, but it was entertainment.
I have no problem with entertainment, but give me a good wrestling product. It's like you sacrifice. It's like the show sacrificed one for the other, and it's just got to be somewhere where the two could come together.
Right, right.
I'm kind of the opinion that for WWE at least, if they could figure out a way to take the wrestling out of their product, they would.
Oh, hell yeah, they would. They'd have Brothers Clay dancing in a ring for 2 hours.
The problem is it's World Wrestling Entertainment. Wrestling is still in the name, and as long as it's in the name, they can't take it out because
it just goes back to the days when Ted Turner bought WCW. He called Vince McMahon and told him he was in the wrestling business. Vince replied, well, good, I'm in the entertainment business.
Yeah, but... I had a point. I forgot it. Crap.
you were talking about WWE. If they could take out the wrestling factor, they would, because they were founded on being an entertainment company to begin with.
Yeah. The problem is they're not really entertaining. I mean, here we go. I got it again. Thank you. WWE is they're so very contrived. Creative has such a stranglehold. I mean, you went back to them being creative and the wrestlers being able to come up with their own stuff and do their own stuff. You don't see that anymore.
WCW tried doing that, and wrestlers kept fucking up their own storylines. You never really saw WCW actually complete a storyline for like 5 years because they tried to give wrestlers creative ability because no one wanted to take the downfall for the other.
Right, and I understand that, but for the guys that know what they're doing, for the guys that can book their own storylines, book their own promos, do all of that kind of stuff, they need to let them do that. I mean, for a lot of these guys and girls, they would not be at this level if they didn't know what they were doing.
This is true.
And so I understand not everybody can do all that, but guys like Jericho, guys like Punk, Bryan, they know how to even come up with their own promos. Let them just have an open mic. And talk.
Let them be. Yes, agreed. I like one of the things that I always look for in a wrestler is the ability to sell something. Like
like, if I were a wrestler, I wouldn't mind being the jobber because I would work on selling that other star, selling the moves. Like, one of the reasons why I have such a man crush on Dolph Ziggler is because that guy knows how to sell. He doesn't oversell. He sells it perfectly. And that's one of the reasons why, like, I think they should get that kind of creativity to even guys like Dolph Ziggler, because, you know, he actually knows what to do in the ring as far as putting himself over and putting that other guy over.
Right, and what's going on with Dolph Ziggler right now is horrible, honestly.
It's horrible. I hate it.
They're holding him back. Everyone was talking about how Jericho was going to put over Dolph Ziggler.
It was a no-brainer for me to see Ziggler beating Jericho, and when Jericho beat him at the SummerSlam, I'm like, what the fuck? Everyone knows Jericho is leaving. Why not put him over?
It sounds like there was a breakdown in logic there where they wanted to make sure Jericho could win the match so that when he did leave the next night on Raw, it had a little bit of credibility. You know, this wasn't a Jericho who lost every match he went out for. He could still win a big match. That was the point before having Ziggler finish him off the next night.
But Ziggler didn't even finish him off on Monday.
He needed to beat Ziggler to prove that, though. Everyone knew he could win a big match. That wasn't the point. That shouldn't have been the point. Like, they're thinking short term and bringing back a guy who's like the uncle that comes back only when his band isn't on tour, versus the guy that's going to be with him for 2 or 3 years and has the potential to be a top guy in the company. Like, there's nothing that you can say that can make this make sense to me.
Let me ask you this. Say you were watching Monday Night Raw. You saw the match going on. You flipped the channel away, because everyone channel flips. And you flip back and you see Chris Jericho standing on the ramp, and they said he lost his job, but you see Dolph Ziggler laid out. Wouldn't you think, like, Jericho won just by looking at it?
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Dolph Ziggler laid out. You know, that's going to happen every now and then. You know, you're going to have that guy that's...
But here's the thing.
It happened with Daniel Bryan whenever he had the briefcase.
But here's the thing. He's always laid out. He's not gaining anything out of it. What should have happened on Monday? Dolph Ziggler should have won the match like he did and had a celebration. Period. He should have never been laid out. Chris Jericho should never have gotten his heat back at all.
Yeah, agreed. Simply because everyone knew that was Jericho's last night. Everyone knew that Fozzy was going on tour. Like, they're practically on a tour, like, supposed to be like next week or something like that. But
they've been on tour. He came back for SummerSlam and Raw.
Yeah,
I agree with you there. I really do. Like, it really pissed me off. It pisses me off the way the WWE has handled the last. I wouldn't say the last two, because I'm not even counting Cena in this. I'm counting Punk. I'm counting Bryan, and I'm counting Ziggler. The way they handled both of those guys was terrible.
Going back to the whole what happened on Raw, they did the same thing to Damian Sandow.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to bring up a question. They were more interested in making Brodus Clay a star, a television character, than creating Damian Sandow as a star.
Damian Sandow can actually wrestle.
He can.
Oh, he's phenomenal.
His gimmick is interesting, I'll say the least. It's the kind of gimmick that I've always wanted to make the Phantom as. Of course, The Rock knows what I'm talking.
Right, but it's,
he's the kind of character.
He's that character you want to create. He's a great character, and he could be a star.
Yeah.
He has that great potential to be a star. But again, if you watch the show, he won the match, but he was laid out so Brodus Clay can dance.
It's a hard balance to find, because when you say something like everyone knew Jericho was leaving to go on tour with Fozzy, the everyone you're talking about are the fans who are in the know. You know, and that is, unfortunately, that is not the majority. You know, where the dirt sheets will get tens of thousands of views a day, it doesn't top WWE.com that gets over a million views a day. You know,
back to my point that wrestling fans are dumb.
Yeah.
Well, but then again, you have to admit that. We're the 1%. Let's put it that way.
We're the 10%ers.
We're the upper echelon here. But we alone cannot fund a machine like the WWE. They have to play to the television crowd. They have to play to the dumb fans because those are the ones who are buying the pay-per-views, buying up the tickets, the merchandise, and lining their pockets. Because if it was just us who are the unhappy with the product because they're not pushing, because they're pushing entertainment over wrestling, they'd be bankrupt in a year.
Yeah.
This is true. Because, like, even TNA, even though they're pushing a wrestling product, they still have to have a direct auto insurance thing on their wrestling thing, on their ring, just to make ends meet. So, I see your point, but it's still kind of frustrating to me that at least, you know, I just want something in WWE to actually appeal to casual wrestling fans. It's not just like I was mentioning before, making like the entertainment and a good wrestling product actually come together. I guess what it all comes back to as far as, you know.
The hard part about that is finding the balance between the two, between the wrestling and the entertaining. And I think
that is the hard part.
That is the hard part. But I think the winds of change are blowing on WWE right now because the more you see Triple H's involvement and Triple H being much more old school in how things work, you see more stuff because you see the, you know, the guys that he has been handpicking have been good for the company. You can, you know, internally and on TV, you can see his influence when the tag team wrestling is starting to make
an
influence.
Yeah.
You can see it when you have the old school hype venues, you know, hype vignettes for, you know, new debuts like Karma or returns like Wade Barrett. You can see where his influence is bringing back some of the old. And that's what WWE needs. They need a little bit of the old to come back. I think the more power Triple H gets, the more you're going to see that.
And I agree with that simply because, like not just the vignettes, not just like, you know, a lot of the stuff they're doing with the old, but he's actually, you know, your top guy is maybe a little thin at the top, but the ones you have up there are really, really good wrestlers, you know, and like we mentioned every now and then, you know, if they'll put CM Punk and Daniel Bryan together, which that feud is going to go on for years. They're going to be back in the ring God knows how many times because they're the two best wrestlers in the company. And they actually, and every now and then WWE will actually untie their hands and actually let them work. And that's some of the best matches you'll see in WWE. And I hope, and it's somewhat evident to me that Triple H is wising up to that. And I hope the more power he gets, the more he's going to push a wrestling product and, you know, try and find that balance.
What do you think, Mace?
I've been quite happy to sit back and just let people go. Cause basically, I'm sitting here going, didn't I rant about this shit last Sunday night? Didn't I rant about this on Monday? Haven't I been ranting about this shit for, like, the past 2 months? It's like, I've been ranting about this for months and years now, and the people are only just now catching on?
No. We wanted to have a logical discussion about it, not just, oh my god, this is a rant.
This is the first time I've actually called in while you're on the show, mate. I mean, Lindsay will tell you, I rant about this just about every time I get on the show.
Yeah, it's...
Which is...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You go ahead, I'm sorry.
I think it's something we all rant about, and it's... I just, to bring... Before we move on, I just wanted to add one last thing. I think one thing that will help as far as them merging the two is if they bring wrestling writers back more, or I should say more wrestling writers back into creative. Everybody bitches about the creative team and the fact that they have TV writers on there. Honestly, I don't have a problem with a TV writer being on that team if you have a wrestling writer paired with them.
Well, I mean, to tell you the truth, I mean, if you could actually split the two, if a TV writer could say, hey, this is the angle we're pushing, just write the match.
Right, you need a TV writer to write the TV show, to format
exactly.
The TV show, let the wrestling mind put in the guts while the TV writer write the TV show.
Right. And if they could get that balance, that would help. I think that's the one thing I like about TNA is they have that balance between entertainment and wrestling. It leans more towards the wrestling side, but Lagana and Pritchard and everybody else writing for that show have found that happy medium where they have discovered how to make it TV, or I should say TV friendly and entertaining to watch, but it's still professional wrestling. It still revolves around professional wrestling.
Right, because Dave Lagana is a TV writer from where he was before he came to WWE and then ROH and TNA.
I mean, I would like to have, like, you know, I don't know if TNA does it like this, but, like, you know, put, like, the TV show writers in one room, put the match writers in another room, put them together and say, hey, we need a match about this long, write it out. How much time you got to work with, write it out.
I was more thinking, you know, the TV writer says, hey, I have this great idea. Why don't we have, just to use it because it's one of my favorite storylines of the year, the AJ Lee story.
Oh, I love that story.
Because
Hell
it was
yes.
so, it was well booked. Up until a certain point, it was very well done. So it's, we want to take AJ, we want to make her batshit crazy and have a love square revolve around her. Okay, wrestling writer looks at the TV writer and says, okay, here's how we book it. You feed me the idea, I'll book the idea.
Right.
And
yeah.
I think that's where you could have that happy medium, is where you have the two working together, where they're bouncing off each other. Because as
collaboration.
As we've seen in this discussion, collaboration is a wonderful thing.
It is.
I like that.
It is. But
they'll never do that.
No, but anyway, thank you for calling in tonight, birthday boy.
Yeah, happy
Indeed.
Birthday.
You guys have a good one. Thank you guys very much. Thank you for letting me call in and do my rants and all that good stuff.
No problem.
Have a blessed night.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was the Phantom, everybody.
You know, I never thought I would hear the day when I would be supporting Triple H getting more power.
And now...
You asked me about 3 years back... Oh, God.
Well, I mean, if you look at the way that they're running things, I mean, Stephanie's been given so much power, and, you know, she's been the head of creative now for, what, a couple of years? And we've steadily... 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've seen the downhill decline since Stephanie has gained more power. And with Triple H coming in and gaining influence, especially over Vince, we're seeing him kind of sort of counterbalance... creative a little bit, because
right.
he can come in and say, okay, that's a good idea, but
right, and here's one last little tidbit of information that's been talked about on the internet. This upcoming WrestleMania is going to be really interesting, because this is going to be the first time Triple H has his real hands on a WrestleMania.
Triple H, if Taker loses, I will come find you. I'm saying that right now. Well, maybe not kill. Maim. Maim you. Bernie Fiery Maim.
But yeah, Triple H is going to have some more influence this year heading into with the WrestleMania event. So, we'll see.
But I say we move it on and wrap this puppy up with our question of the night.
Yeah, let's do that.
So, for those of you who have been listening throughout the show, I hope you've thought about it. Please put your answers up in the chat room. We actually have a lot of answers and one recorded. So, just to review, the question of the night is Eddie Guerrero's career over-glorified because of his early death? And Rock, I think let's start with the user submitted. Or God, fuck.
Let's go with
listener submitted stuff.
Yeah. Well, he's not a listener. He's an asshole. But we're going to listen to what Spug had to say.
I love Eddie, but I think we overvalue what he did for wrestling, again, because of the tragedy of his death. If Eddie were still alive, he's either retired or he's doing what Undertaker and Chris Jericho does. Comes back for a little bit and then leaves. He wouldn't be an everyday wrestler anymore. Eddie had his moments. At the end there, he had probably a 3-year run where he was the top, but other than that, Eddie was a top-tier mid-carder at best. And I'm probably going to get crucified for my opinion, but honestly, I think guys like Owen Hart, Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Rick Rude, I can't say Mr. Perfect, because Mr. Perfect really was that fucking good. But there's a host of others that get overvalued because of the circumstances surrounding their death. Nobody can seem to put their careers in the proper context. It's always, they were great, but they died so young. Imagine what they could have been. And then everybody takes what they could have been and puts it into what they were. And it's just not fair to both the legacy that they left behind and those currently in the business. You know what I mean?
Agree or disagree, anyone?
You know, I hate to say it, but the asshole's kind of right.
Yeah.
I can equate it to, like, for instance, you know, I'm a comedian buff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of, when Greg Giraldo died,
mm-hmm.
Everyone glorified the guy. But honestly, his career was not that deep. He wasn't that well known of a comic. He was a really good comic.
He was on the rise.
He was on the rise. You know, and I'd say the same about Mitch Hedberg. And, you know, there's your Mr. Perfect example, because the guy's material was unique and brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And he died too soon. You know, but it's not like when... You know, but it gets glorified to the point where this guy got the same coverage as George Carlin, who was a goddamn legend in the business. So, you know, I can equate it to that. I've seen it done before. You naturally want to, you know, you generally want to exalt the guy who just passed away because you want to honor them, but you also want to look good so no one thinks you're an asshole. Luckily, we have an official asshole in the network who will say it first.
Exactly. We got a lot of response. We got, you know, a couple just plain old no way, Eddie Guerrero was the real deal. He deserves whatever recognition he gets. One person chimed in. I would tend to say no as well. It also went over Lesnar in the moment with Benoit at the end of WrestleMania 20. It would have been fondly remembered regardless. If anything, his legacy was tainted by the constant use of his death in storylines in 2005 and 06, as well as the stigma that now surrounds the WrestleMania 20 ending. If he died in 2001 instead of 04 and still gotten the level of respect, the answer might be different. But his work in those 3 years earned him the respect he is getting. We had someone say, somewhat yes, the great died young, plain and simple. We had one, I believe so, much the same way Benoit, I love Eddie, but the best thing to happen to his career was his death. I don't have the number in front of me, but I'm sure he sold more DVDs and t-shirts after his passing. No disrespect meant.
That's the artist effect, though, where you don't appreciate what they've done until they're gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... It's...
Yeah, how forgiving were we of Michael Jackson of everything he's done after he passed?
Oh, God.
Mm.
And it just got worse.
Yeah. Phil Strom chimed in, I was a fan of Eddie's work in ECW, WCW, and WWE. He was one of the best workers slash performers in the business. I think his death made people realize what they lost. But I don't think his death put him on a level he didn't deserve. There are some who fit the bill, but I don't believe Eddie Guerrero was one of them. He was great. The best thing to happen to Eddie Guerrero was when McMahon decided he was a main eventer and had him defeat Brock Lesnar in a very memorable and emotional match. You want to read a couple, Lindsay?
Yeah, just to kind of go on the opposite side. This one's a little interesting. Jeff Dubois sent in, I hated Eddie, wrote him off as just another guy who flushed his talent away for a drug addiction. Then suddenly he pops up in the indie sober, gets back to WWE, and was like a completely different person. His death only overshadows his career because he had a lot of potential that he never got to tap into. He wasn't just a good wrestler. He had depth as a character. He spent a long time as the funny, lie, cheat, steal character. I always marked out when he would pretend he got hit by a chair and get his opponent DQ'd and such. And his feud with Angle, stealing the medals and drawing on the painting. But his feud with Ray, yeah, it was stupid and overdramatic, really stands out. He was just this incredibly dark character, a man driven mad. He tapped into all those demons he had once carried and really shined as an amazing character. And before I knew it, before we got to see the full extent of his potential, he dropped dead. And the worst part was that it was those demons he had finally risen above who struck him down. I'm not one of those people who acts like the dead were saints. And yes, people definitely jumped on the Eddie wagon when he died. Sorry, this one's really long. But I think it's partially because they kind of took him for granted, and it shook them when he was gone. For me, though, I was finally enjoying the guy after watching so much of his career for years and years, and I was impressed by him, and nothing's felt right about him since he died, because he really became a better person and better wrestler, and that's not how his story should have ended. Let's see.
Yeah. Kingkins chimed in with one. He goes, in all honesty, yes, and I know some will hate the answer. Eddie did have some run as heavyweight champion in the main event pushes, but overall he was a mid-carder. Did he have some great mid-card feuds? Absolutely. But if you look at someone like Christian or Jeff Hardy in a match, accomplishments and feuds, they're pretty much equal. But the majority of people who will call Eddie a Hall of Famer and Christian gets an eye roll. It's just with Eddie, you have the what could have happened effect, you know, or factor, the James Dean factor, as it is also called.
And then, of course, our own Tim Stein chimed in with, despite what Nash has said, no, he went a long way in the business. He was a top tier talent, and he earned it. He put asses in seats, and that's the bottom line.
Because Tim Stein said so.
Yes, because Tim Stein said so. But
what do you think, Mace?
Yeah, what do you think, Mace?
Eddie Guerrero was mid-carder. Always was. He was able to propel himself into the main event scene way too late in his career. It was getting to a point where you could tell Eddie was getting sick of the business. He was getting sick of being on the road. He wanted to go back to his family. And it showed in his matches. Yeah, he had one or two charmers, and believe me, that match against Brock Lesnar was not one of them. That's one of those rose-colored glasses deals.
Mm. The moment of him winning was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the win was good, because everybody had supported him for so many years. But to say he put butts in seats, no. He didn't. They built SmackDown around him and Rey Mysterio because they were trying to tap into the Hispanic market.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't quite work out because Rey was always bigger than Eddie. I have respect for the man's ring work, but to me, he isn't worthy of all this praise that he got after his death. In the same vein, like we have brought up Chris Benoit a few times,
mm-hmm.
I am probably one of the that guy we shall not mention, believe me, we're going to try and work that into a WTR riff one day.
Great.
Who the hell is this guy? I've never seen him. Why is he going for the world championship?
Where did he come from?
But basically, like, I'm probably one of the very few people on this planet who will separate Benoit the wrestler from Benoit the person. His death was horrible. That should not have happened the way it did. You know, bad man, bad Benoit, bad Benoit. When I look back at the dude's wrestling ability, I see a guy that should have been a star that never got that chance. Yeah, he got the title in WWE in the end, but again, it was too late. But, you know, two different situations with two different sets of emotional attachment to both.
Right.
Both probably, in my mind, are undeserving of what they got in the end. But that's just me.
Okay. Omega?
I thought I went first.
He did go first.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We've gone through that many responses that we've forgotten that Omega actually spoke.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm sorry he went up front. Okay, Rock, what do you think?
Well, before we get to May, we had one come in, and we're going to have one more come in as we're doing the show. Yeah, we're going to get more live responses. Not even close. The man was already practically universally admired for his ring work, his charisma, and all. He was worthy of the recognition in life. And he finally got it after he turned his life around and hit his stride in WWE.
Okay, fair enough.
It even points out on the DVD that he wasn't completely over his demons in the WWE. And frankly, the way he died shows that those demons were still there. Yes, he did manage to clean up his life a lot, but not to the amount that people believed that he did.
Yeah, he wasn't 100% sober. Was my understanding.
From my understanding, he was essentially sober, but he died from an enlarged heart from that abuse. He overcame his demons, he just did it too late to save his body.
And that can be said about a lot of people.
Yeah.
There's been lists produced of WWE wrestlers / superstars who have died under the age of 40, and it's a staggering number.
Yeah. It's
like,
it's
over
terrifying.
50 odd people. That's a scary fact to see in the business.
Yeah. Going back to I kind of really agree with what Spug was saying in his comments, and to add on to what he was saying was.
Wait, somebody get a temperature of hell. Everybody's agreeing with Spug.
I know, because I had the conversation with him before we did.
You mean? Wait. Do you mean the views and opinions of the Spug guy actually reflect those of the Wild Talk Radio Network?
How about
this
that?
One time.
This one time. One time
just
alone.
Once.
Okay, that needs to be clipped and played back to him now.
I will. Just have to remind me. But we were talking about Eddie Guerrero and the thought of what would his career would have been like if it continued from where he was. If you remember when he died, the last year of his career, it was really his really dark character, and he finally turned it around to become the old Eddie Guerrero, Latino Heat. That was where they were building the big return of the original Eddie Guerrero. I don't think he would have been in the business any longer, more than a year or two after that point. I think he was done. And I don't, you know, everyone's talking about how his career, what his career could have been. I think we saw his career. I don't think he would have been wrestling any much longer. I think he had it.
And he had 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he might have done two more WrestleManias and then been done. And that's a sad thing, but it's kind of where he was going. Great wrestler, no doubt about it. Great matches, no doubt about it. But we talk him up like he was a legend, and I don't know. I'm not all there. Great guy, great wrestler. I'm not sure.
I think he's I think he's a good example of what the WWE should be doing, because he could blend the great wrestling with great entertainment value. And it's something that WWE desperately needed right now.
Yeah.
So what about you, Lindsay? Because this was your brainchild. What do you think?
As we've been sitting here and we've been talking about him, and I've been trying to think back and remember Eddie's career, and a couple things stick out for me. I remember when he came in with the Radicals. I remember him doing the Latino Heat, but one thing I don't remember is his really, I guess, last year in the company, if you want to call it back, or the last few months. I don't remember the feud with Ray. I don't remember him winning the title. When I think of Eddie Guerrero, I think of that. I honestly think of when he was with China. When he was doing the Latino Heat and he was with her and they were dating and all that kind of thing, where he wasn't in the main event. And I have to agree with a lot of people. I think the main event push honestly came too late. And this isn't discounting Eddie Guerrero as a wrestler or as a person, because everything I've heard about him was he was a phenomenal human being and he was a phenomenal wrestler, and I'm not trying to take anything away with that at all. And I have to agree, he was excellent at blending that entertainment factor with the wrestling factor. But I mean, as far as we look at him, and he's, I don't know how to say this without offending someone, but he's being held on the same level as your Ric Flairs, your Mr. Perfects in some regards. And I have to agree with Spug in the sense that I don't think he was that level. Was he good? Yes. Was he legendary? I really don't think so. Just because, you know, just watching from that time frame that I saw, he doesn't have a lot of memorable moments for me. And it just, yeah, I think in a lot of ways his death has made him a little bit bigger than he was. Because like everyone said, it's the James Dean factor. It's what could have been. And we take that and we say, oh, you know, he could have had 15 title runs. He could have had this. He could have had that. But we'll never know. I mean, one of the original part of this question was, where would Eddie be in the WWE today? Would he be retired? Would he still be with the company? Would he have fallen right back to the mid-card and possibly even been released?
If today, I would have said he would have been in the mid-card, or he'd be taking Chavo's spot in TNA if he was still around today.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I wouldn't say that spot in TNA. I mean, Eddie looked like he was done with the business, but he strikes me as one of those guys who wouldn't go anywhere just to make a buck. Anytime he's just interested in a buck, WWE would have had him.
I mean, honestly, as far as today goes, if he hadn't been finished in the business like we all believe he was, if he was still with the company, I can honestly see him being in Regal's spot.
Honestly, Eddie, at an older age, would have made a phenomenal manager.
He would have.
And he was good in that. He did a little managing with China, too. And he was good in that role.
To be honest, I actually would have seen him more in a commentary role in SmackDown.
That would have worked, too. I think his in-ring career was winding down.
The thing that was so special about Eddie, at least in my opinion, was he was extremely charismatic.
That's the one thing he had for him. That's the one real quality he had. The biggest quality he had.
I would have to say his charisma almost was bigger than his wrestling talent. Just because Eddie had that ability to draw you in no matter what he was doing. May not have been for long, but he could draw you in. So to see him as a manager or as a commentator would have been an interesting thing to see. Picture Eddie Guerrero and Michael Cole on commentary.
Oh, God.
They think about that mix?
Why is there blood coming out of my ears?
But I mean, it's, yeah, just, I don't see, I never saw Eddie Guerrero as a main event wrestler being permanent, and I don't know why. Maybe because it happened too late and he died too soon in it for it to really be permanent, but it never really felt important. Yeah, there's that great moment of him embracing Chris Benoit in the ring at WrestleMania 20. But until somebody brought it up and said that was WrestleMania 20, I couldn't have told you when that moment happened.
Of course not. It's been censored.
Aside from that, I mean, it's just, it's... He's memorable in so many ways, but he's very forgettable in others.
I'll put it to you this way. Eddie Guerrero, give him another 10 years. People forget who he is.
I don't think that that's an exaggeration.
Okay. To most of the fans, like guys like us who have followed his career for years upon years, will always have memories of him. The casual fan that was just coming into wrestling around the time of his death, they'll forget him.
It's more so, I think the memory will fade once we don't no longer see a Guerrero on our television.
True.
Well, I mean, to even bring up that point, Vicky, she is Eddie Guerrero's widow, but they don't ever really mention that. I don't think they ever mention it anymore.
Yeah.
They don't bring that up. She's moved on beyond being Eddie Guerrero's widow. She is now the manager of Dolph Ziggler.
Right, but the last name is what brings back the memories. I think once we see... Here's a different point. Would we still have these great memories if Chavo and Vicky were active today? Would we still be remembering Eddie Guerrero if they weren't on TV for the last 5 years?
Vicky, I would say...
If they weren't on TV, would we be remembering Eddie Guerrero?
Vicky, I would say no, just because she's moved on beyond it. Chavo... I'm sorry, Vicky, I would say... Well, let's see. Vicky, I wouldn't necessarily remember him, because I don't necessarily tie her to Eddie anymore. Mm-hmm. Chavo, I do, because he can't...
Let it go.
Let it go.
He's still in the shadow.
Yeah, he's using the shadow to further his career. I mean, when he debuted in TNA, within the first minute of his promo, Guerrero family, Eddie Guerrero, that name was dropped.
Yeah, and he's not doing himself any favors by copying his uncle's style, even if he's terrible at it. I'm sorry, the three suplexes look terrible when Chavo does them every time. His frog splash looks terrible every time.
Oh, actually, his frog splash has improved.
That yes. Wouldn't be difficult.
But still. I'm also thinking about it this way, you know, if Eddie was still with us, we wouldn't have Vicky Guerrero going through the whole thing of being a general manager, transitioning into a manager, which means we probably wouldn't be seeing Dolph Ziggler in the role we see him in today.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have seen as much of Jack Swagger as we did. I don't think Edge would have been a bigger heel at the end of his run as he was.
No, I think Edge would have still gotten over. Is that top?
He would have gotten over, but it would have been a lot more difficult than having him team with the, at the time, heel GM that was Vic Guerrero.
True.
So you think about it, if we didn't have Vicky in the WWE, we wouldn't see some of the guys in the spots we wouldn't see him in today, which is quite surprising.
I think that's one reason why it's so easy to separate Vicky from Eddie now, is because she's been a heel her whole WWE tenure.
Yeah, they never relied on Eddie Guerrero to make her. She made herself.
They never played her for sympathy for Eddie. They let her be a completely different character, completely different direction. And, you know, I applaud Vicky because she hasn't been in Eddie's shadow. She's actually, the best case of a manager we've had in the WWE in a long damn time.
Yeah, and that's a good thing.
I'm now looking towards the future because when the first child of the Guerrero sets foot in the WWE ring, do you reckon they're going to make a name for themselves, or are WWE going to settle them under that shadow?
Well, WWE's been I was going to make a point, and then I get completely dashed in my own head. Because you've got Mr. Perfect's son, but, apparently they're going to retool him into something a little bit closer to home, but they kind of flip-flop on whether or not they want to put them in the shadow, whether it's, Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase Jr., or they want them to start fresh and make a name for themselves. You're McGillicuddy, and now you've got Charlotte coming up in developmental.
From what I understand, the way that works is Rhodes and DiBiase were the last two that they were going to let use the family names. And they've now, moving forward, obviously, they're bringing these second and third generation people up. I don't even know what Charlotte is. Is she fourth?
I believe.
She's second
generation.
She's just really young.
second generation from I think the first or second marriage.
That's
her qualifier. Is which marriage is she from?
She's the daughter of Eddie and Vicky.
Charlotte is Flair's daughter.
Flair's daughter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't even remember what they renamed Vicky's daughter.
Yeah, but Vicky's daughter has been renamed, so I don't... And even for Charlotte, I don't... For her, it might be different. It depends on what's going on with the Flair lawsuit at the time that they bring her up. If they bring her up, she's got to make it through. As far as Vicky's daughter goes, I would have to honestly think that they're going to bring her in, and they'll bring her in outside the Guerrero name.
Raquel Diaz is her name. In NXT, FCW. But the finishing move, the Gory Bomb / Frog Splash.
So they're not using the name, but they're using two very specific moves to the family.
Yeah.
Sense, motherfucker, do you make it?
Coming from one of the most powerful families in wrestling history, the third generation superstar shows no shame in letting all the NXT know how undeniable she is. Most powerful families.
So they're using the Guerrero legacy, but they aren't. But they're still going to pin her with a name they can trademark.
Pretty much.
So sorry, Eddie. We'll milk your legacy. We just won't make any money off of it.
Oh, they'll still figure out a way to make money off of it, but yeah, I mean, it will be interesting to see if they let her use that Guerrero name, and if they have her work with Vicky.
I wouldn't.
With one caveat, if and when Dolph Ziggler wins that world title, in my perfect little world, he'd dump Vicky, who's constantly pushing him to, cash in that bank. Because she wants to manage a world champion. And the first time, Vicky's failed this many times, fires her, goes off, does it himself, wins it on the first attempt. Wins that championship all by himself. The split's going to happen eventually.
Right, and we know that. And that's going to be one of the big... That turns off when the split happens.
Yeah. And that's my caveat. If Dolph splits off with Vicky, and then they bring up Vicky's daughter, then yes, you could have them interact because Vicky's gonna need something to do. And I find it interesting because in the realm of pro wrestling, when everything's been done, when have you seen a mother managing the daughter?
Never.
Linda and Steph.
But that's not managing.
Linda was never a fucking manager.
No, Stephanie wheeling Linda to the ring in a wheelchair to managing.
Good point.
Fair enough.
But that would be an interesting story they should tell, and because we know they listen, they'll do it now. And they'll screw it up.
WWE, if you're listening, you can send the checks to...
Yeah.
Oh, the motherfuckers owe me some back payments.
They owe us all back payments. Just pointing that out.
I will accept payment in the form of Kane. Please send him to my house. Preferably with pyros preloaded, because I have a list of people. Just saying.
They can't do that. He's going to be down here next week for the house shares.
Well, fine. Grab him, throw him in a box, and send him to me.
Go ahead.
I'm sure that's going to work out really well. I'm quite sure, you know, I'm going to be big enough and strong enough to, you know, force Kane into a box.
I have plans. I'll send them to you. Along with the necessary medications. God, you think I would do this unprepared?
She's been playing this for a long time. We're just pointing
it out. Wait, was this why you had me look up where to buy chloroform?
Yes.
Should have known.
What? I took the plans from your fangirls, okay?
Oh.
And on that note, I think we're all about exhausted.
So before, go ahead.
Before we go, does anybody have anything they want to bitch about?
I'll let these two go first before I go.
I've really got nothing to bitch about at the moment. Like, I'm actually, once again, in a good place. However, if anybody out there uses the site Play Asia to buy video games and has a spare coupon that they can send me, themacing@gmail.com, please send me. And, you know, I like saving money. Because I need to buy Madden 13 now, supposedly.
Okay. Omega?
Dear Japan and whoever designs models for building over there, why the fuck do you want me to sticker a three-dimensional face with a two-dimensional sticker? You fuckers are evil.
Okay, Rock, go.
Dear Comcast, thank you for all the trouble you put me through last night and your nodes that, you know, malfunction. Whatever a fucking node is. I don't even know what a node is. But they malfunctioning. Took me off.
Is that one of the races in World of Warcraft?
I don't know. I don't play WoW. Thank you for taking me offline for a couple hours when we were trying to prepare this show.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, especially I'm in the middle of a conversation with Lindsay. She's ranting about something, and then the internet goes kaboom.
Twice.
Thank you. Twice. Well, I think three times, actually. Who's keeping count? Thank you, Comcast, for doing that. And thank you, Comcast, for, well, changing all my channels, too. All the channels in the 200s are now in the 800s. Thank you. No notice, no nothing. Oh, we changed them. Thank you. Now I don't even know where anything is. Thanks, guys.
At least you're not on a 2-hour delay.
Yeah, but that's your problem.
Yeah. Fuck you.
It's not my problem. I can't even find USA Network. I don't even know what channel it is.
Do a search for it.
It's called a TV guide, Rock.
I know, but I knew where everything was. It was the same way for 7 years. It's going to take some time.
Go to Comcast.com and download the channel guide.
I have one on the TV. That's not the point. They screwed things up. Everything was working fine. But no, they had to change things because of Comcast. And they're going to give us new channels. Great. Can't wait for those shitty channels. I'm done.
You're done.
Yeah, I'm good.
Stupid drivers are stupid.
Coming from the girl, coming from the girl who tailed a guy just for the Decepticon logo.
Hey, you know what? Tailing and stalking is in my normal behavior. I stalk airplanes, I stalk cars, and I stalk wrestlers. Deal with it. But anyway, yes, stupid drivers are stupid. Please don't pull out in front of me and make the big assumption I'm going to stop, okay? Just don't. Because there is going to be one of those days where I just decide I'm not going to stop.
P.S. Lindsay has road rage.
Yeah, I have serious road rage. Also, yay for my 1 week of summer vacation before I go back to school next week.
Yay.
So yay for working nights over the weekend and then having to go to school Monday. Woohoo! Prepare for me to be really bitchy come Monday. Just saying.
Sweet. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah. But on the upside, my cake turned out.
Sweet.
It's chocolate pound cake. It's yummy.
I want.
Well, you have to come to Utah to get it.
I'm on the next flight.
Sweet. So, anybody got anything else?
Nah, I'm good.
Okay. Mace, plug your shit.
Can you feel the heat?
Talk, Mace.
Okay. somebody's phone just went off. What the fuck?
Yeah, I was like, wow, that was really good timing.
I forgot about the phone ringing at the beginning of this thing. Yeah.
I got nothing. Rough plugs all the main shows. I've got nothing in the works. I'm... Yeah.
You can plug shit. I don't have to plug at all. Plug shit.
Yeah, you do. You're the producer. That's your job.
Oh, fuck you.
All right. Follow him at the Mace Thing on Twitter. Omega?
Okay, let's see here. There's TJ Omega over on YouTube. TJOmega.org. Still pending a revamp. And TJ Omega over on Twitter. Basically, anywhere that's TJ Omega is probably me.
Except if you look deep in the dark worlds of Friendster and MySpace. Well, maybe MySpace has it. But Friendster and JDate, I don't think it's actually you. Unless you're into that. I don't know.
He's on JDate?
not that I checked recently.
Ow. Go Rock.
Sorry, I'm Midnight Ish at CB Radio. Don't know what the fuck we're talking about. I don't know who's going to be talking with me. If Subway shows up, we're talking about Linkin Park. If Rob shows up, we're talking weird things. It's CB Radio. Check it out. Sunday night, WTR Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Probably going to be a little later than 10 because Mace is going to be late, I think. Right, Mace?
Yeah, I'm going to be running around doing stuff on Monday.
So Mace will be late for WTR, so we'll probably start like 10
p.m. No, WTR, I'm good. It's the post-show that I'm going to be running around late.
Oh, I thought, okay. Well, anyway, we might still start a little later. Who knows? Depends who's hosting the show. Anyway, join us for Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern, or closest we can get. Monday night's the Raw post-show. Join me and Lindsay, probably not Mace, to talk about 3 hours of Monday Night Raw. That's 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, it's KFAB Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. Pending hurricanes, tornadoes, or tropical storms. I don't know what the fuck's going on in Florida. He may or may not have a show, but if he does, Adam Cole will be on the program. Wednesday night, it's just another guy.
God.
He's freaking out, Omega.
It's supposed to be a cat one at worst. You don't even board up for those.
He's freaking out.
He's a wimp.
I thought it was aiming at the panhandle anyway.
It's supposed. It looks like it's gonna miss this area completely. It's like, oh my god, we're gonna have a drizzle.
He's freaking out.
Alan,
it's a light drizzle. It's the apocalypse.
Alan, just get in your bathtub. It'll be fine. Take the liquor with you.
You don't drink.
Take the orange juice with you.
Yeah. So Tuesday night, KFA Wrestling Radio. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show. Join them. If you're doing fantasy football with us, be around tomorrow night, and we'll do some fantasy football drafting and all that fun stuff. Check out WTRFs, wildtalkradio.com/WTRFs, or they're on the main page, or any page you go into on the site. Check out the riffs. New ones coming tomorrow. We will have on the website Lita versus China.
You done?
Yeah.
Right, you can follow me at Lins Ward, LINSWARD on Twitter, my official website, psychwardesigns.com, and of course, CassidyRiley.net. Check them out for all your design and wrestling needs. And as always, stay tuned next week where we will talk more Impact, SmackDown, and the upcoming news of the week. So with that, you have been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com. By the way, big thanks to Andy for coming to the show tonight. And of course, our crazy crew of chatters. But for Mace, for Omega, and for Rock, we're out of here, so have a good night. Siempre cogiendo más mujeres porque soy Latino. And I'm thumping and tough, calling your blood, cause I don't care if you don't like me. Everybody wants to fight me. WildTalkRadio.com.